gentlemen, brace yourselves. This is it. 3, 2, 1.
Yeah. Kick it off right.
Good morning,
Panama.
Dude, my throat is gone. Why did all of a sudden the phone lines just jam up?
Oh, jamma jam! Somebody's trying to...
That's weird.
Somebody's trying to steal Matthew's thunder. Doug, let us go to the other phone line. Nobody's there? Are they just messed up?
Both hung up.
Weird. They both hung up.
Phone lines are open.
That's right.
505-338-3700. Dude, I woke up feeling awesome.
Yeah.
It's that time of year.
It is.
When the cruds hit.
The croup.
The nasties.
I wonder if our online feed ever came back up. Guys, if you're listening via regular radio airwaves,
yeah,
we encourage people to listen over the internet through the app, through the website, but lately it's just been messing up like crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, it has.
It's very frustrating.
We apologize for the inconvenience.
No, we don't apologize.
Oh, sorry.
It's y'all's fault.
Dude, the weather outside.
Frightful.
It's crazy.
It is cold.
26 degrees right now, everybody. High today of 50.
Yep.
It's going to be mostly sunny, though, so that's a little different from the last couple days where it's been like random snow. Freezing fog early in the morning.
Ayo.
Freezing fog.
Freezing fog is not a fun... That's crazy!
Yeah.
That's like out of a horror movie.
Yeah, highs in the low 40s. 26 degrees outside. So it's actually colder today than it was yesterday when it was snowing. Good times.
Yeah.
Who is calling?
What is happening?
So many people calling this morning.
Prank calling Doug.
Producer Doug will get to you, I promise.
Doug's going to help us out. He knows what he's doing.
Last night, you had a chance to see your first Lobo game.
It was a lot of fun.
Dude.
I had fun.
It was a good time.
I like going places with people.
Yeah.
I like that feel. I get super distracted. I got to be honest. I'm not totally into the game. I clap when other people clap and boo when other people boo.
Yeah.
You know? Dawn is in love with Hugh, which is fine. That's
number
fine.
Number 3, Hugh Greenwood. Dude, Mitch and I, before the game, accepted...
Yeah, I saw. I got there right before you guys accepted.
Man,
Steve-O and Mitch from Team Awesome Morning.
Yes, it's like that'll work. Whatever.
Yeah, we started laughing. Dawn took a picture of you guys on the jumbo, the Lobotron.
Which I'm glad somebody did because we totally forgot to take pictures.
Nah, it's okay.
So it's like, oh man, but
I'm telling you, that's why we need Celeste on those things. She would never forget.
She'd never forget that. She's like the social media guru.
She is.
So, yeah, it was hilarious because we were right by the ramp where the players were coming out.
Yeah.
And as they were walking down, Hugh walked right by.
Mitch.
By.
And she lose it?
Yes.
She get weak. She like weak in the knees.
Hugh Greenwood, number 3.
He's the team's sweetheart.
He's a great dude.
Yeah, he seems like a cool guy. It's funny because Dawn's like, it's funny to hear her. The words that actually pertain to basketball were all about him. She would go, he is so good.
Yeah.
He is just incredible.
He started off, he hit the first 6 points of the game.
Yep.
A couple threes in the corner. It's great. So your first Lobo experience,
I enjoyed it. No? I really enjoyed the super intense fans.
Yeah.
That have no, I don't know. They're losing control in some way.
Yeah.
Because for every person that you're like, that's like, he is so good about Hugh, you have that other person that's going, he is a powerhouse! He is a powerhouse! Oh! Like, just screaming
great.
Behind us.
My Woo! Favorite was the guy was who just started screaming at the student section.
The other guy, he got Ripping mad at the them. Student section.
Students! Come on! I can't even
yell
anymore.
He had on a funny zebra hat.
Thinking part of me losing my voice has to do with the game last night. It was just too close.
Probably so. But they came back in the end and won.
Yeah, they did.
I really enjoyed...
By 12.
I enjoy listening to, like, the marching band and stuff. The marching band's really good.
Yeah.
Dave from Waverly played in the band at...
Yeah!
At Northeast, our college.
Yeah.
And it was always fun to... Well, he did drumline. He played Quince.
Nice.
It's awesome.
Dude, it is Thursday morning. Phone lines are open. 505-338-3700. Let's go to them. Static!
Good morning, Static Radio.
Hey.
Matthew from Albuquerque.
What's up, Matthew from Albuquerque?
Nothing much, guys. Nothing much. Hey, you know what? You know, yesterday, It was so bad, guys. I couldn't even go into school. I had no transportation.
Whoa.
So, you know, thanks to my wonderful high school and thanks to the wonderful service we have here in Albuquerque for our school system, they actually, for, I don't know if this is true for everyone, but if your bus is unable to come and get you and you get no source of transit, you may have been excused.
Maybe.
Thanks to the transportation offices for, of course, understanding my case and understanding I couldn't get transportation. I thank you guys all so much. Thanks again for please, you know, excusing me yesterday for no transportation. And I'm glad my driver's back. I got Judy Martinez here.
Boom.
Judy the driver.
Judy the driver.
Oh.
Yeah, she Guys, say good morning, my driver.
Good
morning. How are you?
Good morning, Judy. We are fantastic, Judy.
Yes, guys. So yesterday was a hectic day, but I would say, don't worry, as you guys know, on my Facebook page,
is
I did post
rare?
Yesterday that, yes, I wasn't in, but I was safe.
In common form.
Basically at home, even though I couldn't get transportation. But hey, still, today's another day, and it's a better day. We don't have any snow, guys, but you know what? We're back at it.
You're back at it. Speaking of being back at it, we're behind. I needed a request this morning. What you got?
Oh, let's see. This morning, guys, you know what? I could use a little bit.
Mm-mm.
Give me some. Devastation Reformer. We're like, okay, that song, I'm going to flip that out to all the ATS officials at the transit office. Good morning, everyone. Thanks for your hard work yesterday. You guys did fabulous.
Yeah, agreed.
All right, thanks,
agreed.
Guys.
Talk
to tomorrow.
Right, man,
remember,
we'll
as always, it's great to be a Hawk.
Go Hawks!
Bye, everyone.
Bye. It is great to be a Hawk.
Where it's great to be a Hawk.
I know this.
Matthew from Albuquerque.
The Hawk is a winged predator. It feeds on field mice.
Yeah.
It feeds on snakes, things like that. Pretty cool.
Yeah.
It is a creature of the night, a nocturnal animal that swoops down and captures its prey. And it rules the sky.
I like that.
It's pretty nice.
That's good. It's good. It is Thursday morning. We got breaking news. We got birthdays coming up at 6:30 and 6:45, respectively. If you would like to get a birthday shout out in, send us an email. studio@mystaticradio.com. This one going out to the APS Transit Service. Something.
To you, Judy.
That's right. Judy the bus driver. Steam Awesome Morning Party.
Now.
Static.
Let the broadcasting of the disturbed continue.
Time for more from Team Awesome Morning Party on Static Radio.
Enjoy the show. Turn on the news.
I have a little news flash.
We interrupt for this breaking news.
Boom, baby. It's time for breaking news. Today is January 15th, 2015. Number of the day is 28,500.
Wow.
That's tons of waste collected by New York City each year. Whoa.
That's crazy.
That's a lot of garbage.
That's New York City.
That's a huge pile of garbage. Edited. But that line's from Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
But I edited it.
That was good.
I did it, man.
I like that.
I'm on the ball today, Doug. Doug, I'm awake and alive. I got this. Probably going to mess up a lot, so prepare. Prepare for the hate mail. Retailers may be gearing up for Valentine's Day, but before that, they're looking forward to the sales boost that the Super Bowl gives them. We learned that the best time to purchase a new television is right after the Super Bowl.
Yep.
So what you do is you need to... Oh, okay. Plan for Super Bowl 50, because this is Super Bowl number 49.
That's right. So you know next year is going to be huge.
A great question of the day closer to the Super Bowl. Who should play the 50th Super Bowl for the halftime show?
Man.
Who do you think? A few bands or a few people come to mind.
Well, you know who's bigger than anybody in the world right now? The Foo Fighters.
I would argue that Taylor Swift is bigger than
anybody. Oh, you know, yes, right. Mm-hmm. Sorry,
but
I'm thinking like
the
rock
first
and roll,
band that comes to mind for me is the Foo Fighters.
Yeah.
I think that would be awesome.
Yeah.
Have they ever played it? I don't think they've ever played it.
I'm trying to think if they ever, like, they've never headlined it. I can't remember if Dave Grohl ever got to, like, play guitar for something or drums or, yeah, I don't know.
Breaking news!
Nicely done.
Come to work, Mitch. Mitt Romney's wife doesn't want him to run for president again.
I don't blame her.
I don't blame her one bit. She got ripped to shreds.
Yeah, that's hard, man.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if you've got the talent.
Yeah.
If you've got it.
If you got the talent and the backbone, Might as well do it. You know, though, I think if he runs, I think way more people would be willing to trust him. Because if you go back and look, he really did call a lot of stuff that happened.
Yeah, he did.
And I'm not saying he's some kind of, like, you know, like prophet guy wandering out in the wilderness that found some golden tablets and then wrote a whole New Testament based on some Jews coming over to Central America and establishing a new religion. I'm not saying that.
Right.
But I'm saying that he called some stuff politically.
Yeah.
After 25 years, Ann Curry is leaving NBC.
Huh.
It's a long stint.
Yeah.
A long, long stint.
Hey, sometimes it's just your time to go, man.
You gotta go sometimes. You never know, man. Some people last 25 years. Some people don't. A 94-year-old California man couldn't get his foot off of the gas and went through a car wash 40 miles an hour.
Oh.
His car ripped up equipment and did about $100,000 worth of damage.
God.
That is not the quick clean that you want.
No.
Your car wash is going to probably take you about 10 minutes. It's not going to happen if you try to go through at an increased rate of speed.
I used to love, when I was a kid, they'd let you like sit in the back, you know? You'd go through like the real car wash.
Yeah.
Man, I wonder if they let me do that now as a grown up. Hey man, can I just sit in the back seat? Can I just sit in the back seat and watch everything happen?
When we were in Florida, Dawn's sister Morgan had to get her car wash and we went to the car wash. And there's still a little bit of magic at the car wash. I'm telling you guys. Cool. At the car wash, done. If you are no longer enchanted, you're jaded and you need a little magic, just go through a car wash, man.
There
you go. Just get in there and just let it happen.
Yeah.
It's pretty nice.
Yeah.
I
always love the things that like...
Yeah. Good sounds.
You didn't do that sound effect. So
cool,
like,
sound.
You missed the... That thing. Yeah.
And then you got that guy that's out there. You know, you're going through the car wash and then like all the things are going. You know, people aren't supposed to be in there, but there's always that guy like standing in the corner.
With a mop.
With like an axe. And he's just staring at you. And you're just like looking at him and he's just got those dead eyes. And you're like, why is he everywhere that I look? What is that? That's weird.
Oh, man.
VH1 Classic will air a 19-day marathon of Saturday Night Live episodes. That's 433 hours of SNL.
That's crazy, man.
Small
40 years,
people.
Right? This is the 40th anniversary.
Yeah. Yeah. And we saw a preview in February, right? February 15th or something.
Yeah.
It was like 40 years.
Yeah.
I wonder what's going to happen. I bet Chevy Chase shows up. The Oscar nominations were announced this morning.
They were?
We need to check that out. Doug?
Yeah, we do.
Would you... Not yet. No, Doug says no because he does not support
awards.
Doug, I need you to look up the nominations for me. Do it for friendship.
We care about the Oscars.
Just overcome your just whatever that is and do it for friendship. You've got on a Macho Man shirt, Doug.
Oh yeah.
Europe is making plans for the day Earth might be hit by an asteroid.
Oh good.
Those plans include
Aerosmith.
Yes. Don't wanna close my eyes. I would love it.
Yeah.
I think if an asteroid is coming to Earth, that Aerosmith should hold a concert just for...
They really should.
Just for the fun of it.
Yeah. Agreed.
They should do it. Because why not? At that point, it's like, what? Okay. Tommy Caldwell and Kevin Jorgensen have completed the hardest completed rock climb in the world. On their 19th day, Caldwell and Jorgensen reached the summit of El Capitan's Dawn Wall, completing a quest that included years of planning that many considered the most challenging rock climb in the world. Dozens of family members and friends greeted the climbers when they reached the top at 3:25 p.m. Wednesday afternoon. They are the first to free climb every inch of the 3,000-foot Dawn Wall in a single expedition, long considered impossible, using only their hands and feet to pull themselves up.
Whoa.
Ropes were merely safety devices to break the occasional fall. Terrifying. The pair had been planning the climb for nearly a decade before embarking at the base of the wall on December 27th. Caldwell and Jorgensen joined forces in earnest in 2009 to begin mapping a route up the wall and to prepare physically.
Man.
Caldwell and Jorgensen aren't the first pair to make the climb. Warren Harding and Dean Caldwell completed it in 1970, but they are the first to do it with ropes used only to prevent falls, not to aid the ascent.
Man.
The human spirit.
Yeah, dude.
That's cool. It's like a modern day. That's probably the closest we'll get to Everest in a while.
I feel like I'm too impatient to dedicate 10 years towards anything.
It's a lot.
It's like, man, 10 years. 10 years of preparation for this thing. You know what? I'm just going to go watch Netflix.
What are you going to watch?
I don't know. Friends is back.
I'll do it.
I'll do it.
All right.
Doug, we need to start preparing physically
to watch
emotionally
every episode consecutively.
To binge watch Friends.
Fringe.
Fringe?
Fringe.
Fringe. Oh, okay. We're not going to need that much
no,
preparation.
It's Friends. It's no, a lot. Friends.
No, Friends.
Friends.
Okay. We're going to need more.
Yeah.
We're going to need a lot.
Yes.
A lot of
just
tissues.
Love that Ross Geller. Ain't that right, Doug? Just love him, Doug.
Doug, don't listen to him.
There would be no Friends without Ross Geller.
Kids' doctor visits can be fun. Right up to the point when the nurse or the doctor pulls out a hypodermic needle.
Oh.
And everything goes crazy. But if you have a phone or tablet handy, you can reduce the amount of pain your child feels by showing her a cartoon while she gets the shot. In a study published in the Journal of Pediatric Psychology, some 4 to 6-year-old children watch their choice of Beauty and the Beast, Bambi, Barney, or Aladdin, while other children had their shot without cartoons. The kids who watch cartoons felt less pain than others. This reminds me of the story, Doug, involving Barney that we have to talk about today.
Oh, great.
Your greatest fear. We're going to talk about that. Today, we will dissect and discuss Doug's greatest fear.
All right.
It's going to be a good one. That'll probably be our topic of the day.
Yeah.
Hopefully, it'll lend to a question.
I like that. I want to use that for a question later.
This?
Yeah.
Okay.
Distracting your kids with things.
Yes.
It's a good one.
That's good. That's good. A park archaeologist at the Great Basin National Park in Nevada discovered an 1873 Winchester rifle.
Those guys are called parkeologists.
Leaned against a tree.
Wow.
In a rocky outcrop. Now the park staff is trying to unravel the mystery of who the rifle belongs to and how it got there. Staff members believe the rifle went unnoticed for so long because its weathered wood stock blended in perfectly with the juniper tree it was found resting on. The staff has discovered that the serial number corresponds with the manufacturer records that date back to 1882.
Dang, dude!
The records are kept at the Center for the West Cody Firearms Museum in Cody, Wyoming. Unfortunately, these records do not indicate who purchased the gun or where it was shipped to. This gun has been sitting out in the weather for hundreds of years!
That's crazy.
Yeah. I don't know.
It's kind of kicking it.
I wonder if it's been there the whole time or if, like, somebody used it and then recently... Maybe as recently as 50 years ago, they left it out.
I have a Winchester from the Civil War.
I'm from Winchester, Tenfieldville, Iowa.
Are you?
Yeah.
Good. That's good, man.
Oh, yeah. Nice rhyme. Nice rhyme. Doug knows what I'm talking about. Hey, I won't ever get to experience this again, but let's talk about it. First dates are hard. And deciding on a topic of conversation that won't lead to awkward silences can be a minefield.
Mm.
So for all of you out there that haven't married the most wonderful person in the world, I'm going to give you a little dating advice. If you're after...
You could have just said for all the single people out
No. there. No. I had to take it next level.
Yeah, yeah.
I had to show...
Sure, we'll be getting emails.
Yeah. I had to show people...
Right.
The true amount of my commitment, because apparently it's kind of dubious. That's fine. If you're after seeking a happily ever after, researchers have discovered falling in love might be less about meeting the right person at the right time and more about asking the right questions of anyone. The New York Times recently explored a study headed by psychologist Arthur Aaron, published in 1997. So you know you can trust it.
Yeah.
Because it came out in the 90s.
Yeah, like Friends.
Which looked at whether intimacy can be created by asking specific or personal questions. The researchers randomly grouped their test subjects into 33 pairs. Some of those pairs were given 36 questions divided into 4 sets. And the questions are actually linked here. That would be a fun game. With safer questions to begin with, but ending with some very intimate questions. The pairs began with easier questions, such as, would you like to be famous? Or, what do you value most in a friendship? Before they moved on to harder questions, including, how do you feel about your relationship with your mother? Huh. And of all the people in your family, whose death would you find most disturbing and why?
This is the oddest first date ever.
The other pairs were assigned more ordinary, meaning boring, small talk prompters for the 45-minute exercise. After filling out a questionnaire, the subjects who asked and answered the more intimate questions reported feeling higher levels of closeness with their partners than the subjects who simply talked about ice cream flavors.
Which would be daiquiri ice or mint chocolate chip, if I can have mint chocolate chip.
Well, let me ask you this. If you had to kill daiquiri ice or mint chocolate chip, which one would you kill and why?
It'd have to be mint chocolate chip, only because we have a love-hate relationship. I love it, but my lactose intolerance hates it. Therefore, it causes me so much pain. I could eat daiquiri ice for days, and I would just throw up 3 days later from all of the gallons of awesomeness that I would ingest.
Do you prefer a destination wedding?
Well, I like more intimate setting for a wedding because I really don't care who all is there because I'm just focused on you, girl.
Doug, I think he's trying to kiss me.
Never on a first date.
Doug.
Never on a first date.
What am I supposed to hug him?
Guys, I am not doing well.
He's sick, man.
Cool. It's cool. Always go on a first date sick.
Snapchat is asking brands for $750,000 a day for its new ads.
Whoa!
Snapchat only started running ads late last year, with its first coming from Universal Pictures for the film Ouija, which was awesome. Nope. Never saw it.
No.
Since that launch, McDonald's, Samsung, Macy's, and Electronic Arts have been early Snapchat sponsors, paying for snaps, quick videos, and photos that show up in users' recent update feed.
I've never used Snapchat.
I got one at one point because I had some friends saying, "Hey, I sent you a Snapchat." And then I don't use it.
Yeah. That's like my Pinterest.
So it's floating out there
somewhere.
Mitch
made me a Pinterest because she was like, "You need to get on Pinterest."
Get on Pinterest. Doug?
Right?
Should he get on Pinterest?
Did you ever?
Yeah, he should. Hey, what? Can we make you a Pinterest account today?
Why would you make me a Pinterest
account?
Well,
let me ask you this, friend.
Yeah.
With your Pinterest account, would you rather be like, do you want to design some curtains? Or would you rather like maybe make some lace dowlies for the table?
I'm just really interested in Star Wars art.
And, gotcha. Yeah.
You know.
Maybe a Princess Leia-themed towel set.
What? No.
Does that sound good?
Come on. You guys don't have Pinterest? Come on. No? I'm alone on this island?
Yes, you are.
I don't think I've ever looked at it.
That's crazy. A South Carolina woman contacted police to file a missing persons report on her son, who left home to follow the Grateful Dead nearly 20 years ago.
Whoa!
63-year-old Margaretta Evans told a Myrtle Beach Police Department officer that she has not seen or heard from her son since early June of 1995.
Dude.
Jason Patrick Callahan would now be 38 years old. While the police report does not indicate why Evans waited, 20 years to report her son missing, it appears to be connected with the recent social media interest in the 1995 death of an unidentified man called Grateful Doe. The victim, who was killed in a June 26 car accident in Virginia, had Grateful Dead ticket stubs in his pocket at the time of his death, as well as a note addressed to Jason. The driver of the vehicle was a South Carolina man, 21, who fell asleep at the wheel and also died in the crash.
That's crazy.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
What? It's taken a long time.
And she just is grateful to know that...
Yep. All right. And for your final story, this sounds like my dream job. Who knows? Maybe I'll get it soon.
Heck yeah!
For the past 4 years, a public bathroom at a community center in China has been filled with live music. The 66-year-old bathroom attendant has been soothing visitors with music on various instruments. Although locals are divided over being serenaded while using the bathroom, many said they are impressed.
I would love it. Let's start. Forget the bar band thing. Let's start a bathroom band.
I love it. Okay, turn the music down.
Okay, all right.
You're in the bathroom. Setting, bathroom. Doug, you're in the other stall.
So the random cough. Every night in my the highest song, and my throat is killing
me. It's because I am playing the instrument, and you're using the bathroom. Doug is in the other stall.
Theater of the mind. I forgot who I was. I said we were starting a band.
Go to traffic.
Oh, gosh. I don't even like this anymore.
There's an accident to report at Lomas Boulevard at San Pedro Drive Northeast. Also, an accident's been reported Unser Boulevard Northwest at Lyon Boulevard at Irving Boulevard. That's way out there.
Yeah.
Close.
Yeah.
Major road construction, Unser Boulevard at Black Arroyo Boulevard. Also, long-term road construction, San Mateo Boulevard at San Diego Avenue Northeast. And we have road construction. The left lane is closed. Lomas Boulevard West at Broadway Boulevard. That's your look at traffic. Because now we got to get back to the other stall and see what's kicking with our boy Doug.
Hello.
Good morning, Dougie.
How are you guys?
I am sick, I think.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Are you guys glad I came to work?
I am.
I'm only here for 4 hours, so yeah, it's fine.
Okay, that's good.
That works for me. Today, January 15th, 2015, day 15, there are 350 days remaining. First up, an American actor and director. He is the younger brother of Rob Lowe.
Chad. Oh.
Yes.
Chad Lowe?
Chad Lowe.
There's a Chad Lowe?
Yeah, dude. He was married to the chick from Million Dollar Baby or whatever.
Oh, Hilary Swank?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And he was the one that was like crying when she won her Academy Award, and she didn't even thank her husband, Chad Lowe, who was like crying and happy for her. Yeah. Yeah.
Doug, did you ever see that episode of The Office where they tried to decide if Hilary Swank was attractive or not?
Yes, I did.
That was a funny episode.
I think Chad Lowe is 42.
I think he is 45.
47 years old.
Whoa.
Next up, Skillrix.
Skrillix.
Skrill, yeah, whatever.
I think Skillrix is,
Doug, I love it so much.
27.
I'm pretty sure that Skillrix is, I think he's 25.
27.
Yeah! Is that what I said?
Yes.
Yeah!
Does anybody else
love Skillrix?
Skillrix's music sounds like Transformers making out.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally.
From one wonderful musician to another. He's from Cuba. He's from Miami by way of Cuba.
Pitbull.
Yes.
Oh, I asked that there was a Pitbull band that be instituted over Desert Forge
really
CrossFit
did.
Yesterday. Spotify released these playlists for gyms, and they're super specific, and there's a CrossFit one, and I clicked on it, and like the first thing was Pitbull, and I was like, oh, no! No! Because I know that Nick is going to go find this playlist and go play.
Yeah.
So I asked. I issued a whole life challenge, if you will. No Pitbull in the gym.
Gosh.
Which was met with a lot of chagrin by some people. They were not happy that I didn't want Pitbull in the gym.
I don't get it, man.
Did anyone watch his New Year's Eve special?
No,
it was a train wreck. It was bad.
I'll bet.
Came running in at one point and slipped and fell. They didn't do an actual countdown of, like, New Year, so, at like, he's just on stage playing, and then it's just like, Happy New Year! And you're like, oh, we missed the countdown. Shannon and I were watching it because it was good comedic value, and we were like, oh, well, Happy New Year, I guess.
Happy New Year, I guess. And Pitbull was like, yeah! I chose to watch the Seacrest one because T-Swift was on it, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice to meet you. How you been?
Oh.
How you been?
I've been good, man. You know, feeling a little chest congestion.
Well, let me ask
congestion,
you this.
If you will.
Which person in your life, if they died, would most affect you?
Probably Indiana.
Yeah, he's a good dog.
He is a good dog.
Good dog.
So, right now, that's, yeah.
Do you want to get some coffee or...
Yeah, man.
Work out or something?
What just happened?
What was that, dog?
It was weird. It was weird, man.
Pitbull.
Pitbull, man.
That was Pitbull?
It was Pitbull.
Wow!
It
was good, man.
Gosh, he just took revenge out on
He's
me.
He's like 30.
I feel like my ears just got accosted.
Yeah.
Pitbull is Yeah, I think he's older. 36.
34 years old.
Man. Pitbull.
Next up, the American football quarterback. He went to school at Purdue.
Drew Brees.
Yes.
Hey! You like that, New Orleans music playing?
I'm immediately...
Being a number.
From the NFC South. The New Orleans
Saints. Should we call Steven today?
I know, right? It's national holiday for that goober. Drew Brees.
He's been a little off the last couple years.
Yeah, he has. Gosh. Thank you, Lord. Need all the help we can get. Mariota. Mariota.
Thank the Lord for his misfortune.
Whatever.
That's how it goes in sports.
Mariota, bro.
Lord, thank you for letting that guy break his leg.
Mary Broda. It could be happening, Doug. Could be happening. I would be very, very excited.
I feel like Jameis Winston's more ready now, but Mariota over time will be a better quarterback.
That's what I'm worried about. I hope they don't go like, FSU, local,
you know,
like, Glennon.
Hey, we don't need that. Mariota. Dude, he's like poster boy of FCA.
Yeah.
He's solid.
Jameis Winston's the exact opposite of all of that.
Right. I want Marcus Mariota for the Bucks. Okay, Drew Brees is 33.
He is 34.
36 years old.
Oh, that makes me feel better. All right.
And the final birthday today.
Here comes the money.
Wait.
You know this, Steve-O.
I do know this.
You know this, Steve-O.
Wait. Why do I know this?
You all know.
Wait.
Making it rain.
Wait, I know, but what?
I'm making it rain.
It's not a rapper.
I know. It's WWE. I just can't remember who it is all of a sudden. Is it the Million Dollar Man? No, it's not the Million Dollar Man. No, his was different.
Wooly knows.
Oh, my gosh. Why can't I think of who this is?
Shout out to Wooly. I love you.
Oh, wait. It's Shane McMahon.
It's Shane McMahon.
Woo! Shane O'Mac. Gosh.
Shane McMahon.
I apologize that I didn't know right away that it was Shane O'Mac's birthday.
One time he supposedly owned WCW.
Yeah. Shane McMahon. Vince McMahon's son. Gosh, I haven't heard this song in years. Amazing. He's like 40, I hope.
Shane McMahon is 39.
45 years old.
Okay, good.
Getting up there.
Yeah.
On two dates. On this day in what year, the University of Notre Dame received its charter from the state of Indiana.
Oh. Man, I have a t-shirt. And it's got the year right here underneath the clover. And it's way older than I thought. I'm going to say like 1865.
Eighteen forty-four.
Ah,
just a guess, throwing it out there.
It was a good guess.
Thanks, Doug.
You did your best.
Hang on, I like this song. What is this song? Oh yeah.
Always Coca-Cola.
On this day in what year, the Coca-Cola Company, then known as the Pemberton Medicine Company, was originally incorporated in Atlanta, Georgia.
Ooh, okay. So this was when it was...
Stretch!
It didn't, like, become Coca-Cola on this day. This was like, hey, this was the original company.
Yeah.
The Medicine Company. I'm going to say 1872.
That's a good guess. 1881.
1889. It's 100 years older than me. On this end, what year James Naismith published the rules for basketball?
Man.
1903.
Happened on this day in 1892.
Oh, wow.
I was around about
that.
It
was also the same year that Columbus sailed the ocean blue.
It's also the same year Abercrombie and Fitch was established. Best clothing company on the face of this planet. I'm Chad Bad Brian. Just... Do you guys want to go skiing?
No.
Do you guys want to go ride around in my 83 Camaro?
Nope.
Hey, was there a Camaro that came out in 83?
Probably.
My 84 Mustang that looks like a weird-looking box.
Yeah.
You want to ride around in that thing?
Nope.
It's pretty cool.
Wait, why do you have a Mustang and a Camaro?
I'm Chad Brad Bryan. Why wouldn't I?
Right.
Hang on, I can't hear you over my popped-up collar. Let me put it down.
On this day in what year? The first ever Super Bowl. The Green Bay Packers defeated the Kansas City Chiefs 35-10. Over 63,000 fans were in attendance.
Okay, I'm doing some math. I'm not Googling anything. I'm literally just using a calculator today.
Google.com. What are you doing? What's the question?
1966.
First ever Super Bowl.
1966.
1967.
But it's 2015, and there have been... This is the 49th, so I minus 49. Oh, wait. There's only been 48 so far, because 49 has enough.
You got to think about leap years.
Gosh.
In this same what year, Happy Days premiered on ABC.
Never seen an episode, Steve-O.
Nope.
I have, though.
I've watched a lot of this show.
I've never seen the show.
He used to come on Nick at Night, like, right after Hey Arnold.
Oh, 1970.
Wait, Hey Arnold came on Nick at Night?
No, like, Nick would end,
and then
Nick
Happy
at Night
Days
would begin.
Mm-hmm. Dude.
Yep.
The days. I loved Nick at Night. It was great. Green Acres, when I was a kid, it was Green Acres, Dick Van Dyke, Mary Tyler Moore.
I have no
Bewitched.
Idea. Nope.
Oh, the classics.
Yep.
Classic shows. Happy Days. When did you say what year?
70.
1968.
1974.
Ah!
The final date.
When?
On this day in what year, Wikipedia went online.
Oh, wow.
They see me mowing. Gosh. 2005.
2007.
2001.
Whoa.
Okay.
Your number one song for today?
Yes. I'm so happy.
Is this Owner of a Lonely Heart?
It is.
Owner of a Lonely Heart.
Spent 2 weeks at number one.
Wow.
'80s.
Oh, yeah. '84.
1983.
1984 is correct.
Yeah, good job.
It is Get to Know Your Customers Day, Humanitarian Day, Hat Day, and Strawberry Ice Cream Day.
All right.
Nice. Whoa. It is Thursday. We got a great show today. Clay Schroff will be joining us.
Yeah, we're going to talk about Skill Rick some more.
Yes. Also, Theology Thursday.
And Pitbull.
We got a great question already. So, of course, that's coming up. 9 o'clock hour. Pastors Brian Nixon, Jarrett Petro. We got to talk a little more about distracting children. Ow!
It did it again.
And Doug and his crazy...
It's this board.
Oh, the board.
This board is on the fritz again.
I'm happy to know it wasn't Pitbull.
Yeah.
No.
I don't know.
But we can still blame it still might be.
However, you mentioned him, and shortly thereafter...
Is Pitbull our Beetlejuice?
No, you can't say his name.
Say his name three times.
Gosh.
If we say Pitbull three times, he's going to come sliding in here like he did on New Year's Eve. Miss the countdown. He'll be late, though. So that we'll say it, and then he'll come in like 30 minutes later. You guys call me?
Yeah. Coming up, we got some metrics, some U2, some Foster the People. Yeah. Good music, essentially, because we're static. That's how we do. It's Team Awesome Morning Party.
No!
Static.
Come. Get ready for a jolt. Ready?
Wake up!
It's Team Awesome Morning Party.
Wake up!
On Static Radio.
Oh, and here comes trouble. Here comes trouble. Here comes trouble.
Hello.
What's up?
How are you?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
I'm good. Doug, will you get me that story about your greatest fear? Thank you. There's an accident. The right lane is blocked to I-40 West at Cedillo Hill. Also, we've got an accident. Lomas Boulevard at San Pedro Drive Northeast. Oh, it's already in here, isn't it? Thank you, Doug.
I don't know.
Accidents reported Unser Boulevard Northwest at Lyon Boulevard at Irving. So be careful out there. There's a lot of construction out there, too, along Irving. Major road construction, Unser Boulevard at Black Arroyo Boulevard. We've got road construction. The left lane is closed. Lomas Boulevard West at Broadway Boulevard. And we've got long-term road construction, San Mateo Boulevard at San Diego Avenue Northeast. That's your look at traffic.
Traffic brought to you by Solomon Sports, 4001 Osuna Road Northeast. Oh. Coffee shop here on the Calvary campus. They just brought out these crazy cherry cream cheese. It's not a turnover. What is this thing I got?
Fresh out the kitchen.
I don't even know what it is. It's the best thing. It's like this weird hot pocket.
Yeah, it's like a apple or
no,
cherry turnover
cream cheese
hot pocket.
Oh, so good.
Hot pocket.
I don't even know what it is. Speaking of hot pockets, let's talk biggest fears, shall we? Oh.
Can we prod Doug up?
Yeah. Yeah, we can.
Because he's our boy.
Story came out this week of a man who is writing a memoir about his life and time in his body.
It's true. What would you do if you were locked in your body? Your brain intact, but with no way to communicate. How do you survive emotionally when you are invisible to everyone you know and love? That's the first question asked by NPR's new program on human behavior, Invisibilia.
Yeah.
The first show tells the story of Martin Pistorius, who fell into a mysterious coma as a young boy. He had only one thing left as his mind began to function again, his own thoughts. Here's a glimpse into his story. Doug? Are you ready?
Yes.
Are you nervous?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, you should be. This story, oh.
Well, let me give you guys a little setting.
Yeah.
It was the late 80s. And young Martin.
Oh, I need to change the music then.
Growing up in South Africa.
It's the late 80s. We're talking fears.
I thought this came out in the early 80s.
Did it? Maybe it's on beta and he's watching it.
Maybe that's what it is. That's what it is. All right, hang on. I'm distracted. We got a phone call. I got to know what they want. Can we just click them over and then I just want to tell them we're telling a story. Hello?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just going to take an empanada, Steve-o.
An empanada!
An empanada!
Oh! You're right. That's good, man. It's all really right, good.
Exactly.
Love,
what you, too, love you. All right, back to the story. Go back to the scary music.
But this is
Doug,
scary
I'm sorry.
Music.
I know it's, okay. No, it's
you're
distracting.
Fine. You're fine.
Early
you're
80s.
Fine.
All right, here we go.
This is the wrong music.
No, it's the early 80s.
This is the theme from E.T.
Right. Terrifying.
This is heartwarming.
This is not.
This makes me want to fly on a bicycle.
From another planet.
Would you please put
down
on some scary music? Please put on some scary music.
All right,
that's all I'm asking you to do. All this right. is Footloose.
Yeah, Baptist
this is not
terrified of this. Terrified. This will happen in their city.
I feel like this is going to change the way that... Put on some scary music.
Scary music. I gotta like think
Doug, are
about
you
this.
Even afraid a little bit now, or do you feel like you want to dance?
I'm trying to help Doug.
I'm torn.
You're torn?
I'm torn between dancing and.
All right, here we go. Terrifying music, the worst of the worst.
I'm gonna give you a good on topical.
I feel like I'm a 90s sitcom now.
But we're not Tina Fey or Amy Poehler, so I don't think we can pull this off.
Okay.
Let's go to scary music.
Okay.
It was the late 80s, and young Martin Pistorius, growing up in South Africa, was mostly thinking about electronics. Because, kids, back in the 80s, there wasn't much else to do. Resistors and transistors and you name it, that's what he was thinking about. But at age 12, his life took an unexpected turn. He came down with a strange illness. The doctors weren't sure what it was, but their best guess was cryptococcal meningitis.
Whoa.
Yeah, so meningitis is a serious thing.
Yeah.
He got progressively worse. Eventually, he lost his ability to move by himself, his ability to make eye contact, and then finally, his ability to speak. So basically, all of his sensory operations are just shutting down. His parents, Rodney and Joan Pistorius, were told that he was good as not there. A vegetable. The hospital told them to take him home, keep him comfortable until he died. But my friends, he didn't die. Martin just kept going and kept going, his mother says. His father would get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, get him dressed, load him in the car, take him to the special care center where they'd leave him for the day. 8 hours later, they'd pick him up, bathe him, feed him, put him in bed. Set their alarm for 2 hours so they'd wake up to turn him so he didn't get bed sores. That was their life for 12 years.
12 years!
12 years living with, like, taking care of their son in a vegetative state. Joan vividly remembers looking at Martin one day and saying, "I hope you die. I know that's a horrible thing to say," she says now, but she just wanted some sort of relief.
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine?
Right.
Your son is just in a vegetative state and you're taking care of
12
him?
12 years.
12 years. Every day. She didn't think her son was there to hear that, but he was.
This is the craziest part of this whole story.
This is where we dive into Doug's deepest fear.
Right.
And so I've entitled this ghost story, "The Tale of Doug's Deepest Fear," submitted to the Midnight Society.
P.O. Box.
No, I'm talking about You Afraid of the Dark? Do you remember? You remember that?
No.
Come on, man. It was on SNCC.
Yeah.
Okay. Submitted for the approval of the Midnight Society. I call this story "The Tale of Doug's Deepest Fear."
Yeah.
Yes, I was there. Not from the very beginning, but about 2 years into my vegetative state, I began to wake up, says Martin, now 39 and living in England.
He woke up sensory-wise, but his body functions still were not there.
Exactly. He thinks he began to wake up when he was 14 or 15. Remember, this happened when he was 12. I was aware of everything, just like any normal person. But although he could see and understand everything, he could not move his body. Everyone was so used to me not being there that they didn't notice when I began to be present again. The stark reality hit me that I was going to spend the rest of my life like that, totally alone.
Immobile, in your thoughts.
Trapped in his own body.
But able to see everything that's happening.
Yep. These were his thoughts, because his thoughts were the only things that could keep him company. "No one will ever show me tenderness. No one will ever love me." And he thought, "There's no way to escape this. I am doomed." So he figured his only option was to leave his thoughts behind. That was his first strategy, disengaging his thoughts, and he says he got really good at it. You don't really think about anything. You just simply exist. It's a very dark place to find yourself because, in a sense, you are allowing yourself to vanish. But occasionally, there were things that elicited thoughts he could not ignore. Like Barney and Friends.
What?
I cannot even express to you how much I hated Barney and Friends. Doug, second greatest fear?
Yes.
Barney and Friends.
That was a quote from him?
That's his quote. Yeah. "I cannot even express to you how much I hated Barney."
Wow.
"Since all the world thought Martin was a vegetable, at the special care center where he spent his days, he was often in front of the TV watching reruns of the children's cartoon hour after hour, day after day."
"I love you.
Year
you love
after
me.
Year.
You're in a vegetative state and you'll never get away."
Terrifying. How do we have this and we don't have most Michael Jackson songs? I was pretty close on the voice. You hear that?
It was pretty good. That was pretty
terrifying.
Year after year, man.
Then one day he decided he'd had enough. He wanted to gain some small measure of control over his day, so he figured out how to tell time by the sun, how it moved across a room. That was the start. Eventually, he found a way to reframe even the ugliest thoughts that haunted him. Like when his mother said, "I hope you die," and he heard it.
Ugh.
The rest of the world felt so far away when she said those words, so he began to wrestle with it. Why would she say that? As time passed, he gradually learned to understand his mom's desperation. Every time she looked at him, she could only see a cruel parody of the once healthy child she had loved so much. Over time, he began re-engaging with his thoughts, and slowly, as his mind felt better, something else happened. His body began to get better, too. It involved inexplicable neurological developments and a painstaking battle to prove that he existed. And that's all we got right now. If you want more on that, NPR has the program. It's called Invisibilia.
Dude, that's crazy. So now he's snapped out. Like,
he's back.
He's back.
He's back, right?
He's
Doug?
Married.
He's married.
He's in a wheelchair, but he's married.
It's crazy. You hear, like, the power of the mind and the idea that this dude for 12 years was motionless. Everybody just thought he was a vegetable, and he was just trapped in his own body. 12 years Listen, if you're thinking you're having a bad day, if you're thinking that you've got it bad, listen to me. 12 years he was trapped in his own body.
Couldn't do anything about it.
Oh.
This is the Metallica song One.
That's really what
Oh my God!
That's the first thing I thought, the music video for
that's
One.
Exactly what it is.
Johnny, get your gun.
Okay, let me tell you guys from. This. On tour, I had a really, really tough time sleeping in the van. In our band, we never had, like, we didn't really always have the money to get a hotel. We had a ton of friends across the country. We would stay with you guys. We would stay with host homes. But a lot of times when you have a huge, long drive, you don't have time to stop.
Right.
You just have to drive.
Yep.
I would, a lot of times, I say a lot of times today, I would drive overnight.
Yeah.
Because I was terrible at sleeping in the van. Never really got good at it. But there would be moments where my mind would wake up, but my body wasn't ready to wake up yet, and it would still be asleep. And if that's even just a bit
a minute glimpse.
Just the minutia of this. Just even a hint, a whiff, a spice of what this guy went through. Nope. That is. It could
Thankfully,
have just
there's
become
a
my
happy
greatest fear.
Ending. Thankfully, it's like a. And then 12 years later, dude came to.
He came back.
Wow.
But think of that.
Yeah. Think of how many people are out there right now that are probably in that same
no,
position.
No, Doug.
Stop it right now, Doug.
Yes.
See, what I was thinking of is think about how many people were in the room with him who are now going, "Crap, what?
Oh no!
Did I say?
Was this before or after
when?
I had a cell phone?
Okay.
Oh,
did I?
No.
Was he in the room when I... Because as his story goes, people just kind of disregarded him.
Yeah.
So they would just have conversations outright in front of him, not thinking he could hear anything anyways. And so, man, I don't know.
Okay, so check this out. You know he's got the one friend that would come in and be like, "Man, I know you can't reply or anything, but I just really need somebody to talk to. I got a lot of stuff to get off my chest."
Right.
And then when he woke up, that friend was like, "Oh no." So here is the first meetup between the two.
Oh man, who am I?
You're the guy.
The confessor.
Yeah.
Or am I the guy?
No, you be the vegetative state.
Okay, all right.
I'll be the confessor. Doug, you're going to be in the next stall. All right.
Okay.
Here we go.
All right. Oh, hey, Mike.
Oh. I heard you woke up.
Yeah, man. Isn't that great?
It's awesome.
Yeah. Yep.
So how long... I just heard this thing on NPR. You woke up. You started, like, how long after this happened?
Yeah, it's crazy, man. You wouldn't believe it. I'm in my 30s now. I believe I was, like, 14 when I came to and could fully understand everything everyone was telling me.
So we've known each other since we were, like, 6.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Who's that guy over there?
Oh, that's Doug. Yeah.
Hey, man.
Yeah.
Hey.
I'm
trying to go to the bathroom.
Oh.
I'm in this stall.
Yeah, you...
Well, listen, there's a guy over there in the corner that can serenade you if you need that. You just
ask. Okay.
So, anyway... Wait, who are you?
I'm just here to use the restroom. You guys are meeting
you
up in a restroom right now. It's really weird.
I just needed to...
Yeah, I'm just going to go back.
Character development.
You've heard...
Yeah, everything. Man, there were some really dark times. There was one time my mom straight up said that she wanted me to die just so that there would be like some finality to everything. And yeah, I heard a lot of stuff.
Man,
Jeff.
That's tough, man.
Mike,
that's
what's your name?
Joe Mike.
Joe Mike. Joe Mike, I heard...
It's Joe Mike Tanya.
I heard a lot.
You did?
Yeah.
So you heard your mom tell you that...
Yeah, man, people say the darndest things when they don't think you're... paying attention.
I know. Do you remember when I started telling you about that time by the Walmart?
Yeah,
that was a hoax.
Oh.
That was a hoax. I was testing you.
You're just
to
trying
see,
to snap me
I
out.
I was trying to see if there would be any kind of because I, knowing you since you were 6,
right.
knew that something was up.
See, and I figured something was up because there's no way my good friend Joe Mike Jeff?
Joe Mike Tanya.
Jeff Tanya.
Joe Mike Jeff Tanya.
I knew there was no way you would really take part in something like that.
Yeah,
so
hoax.
I figured that instance was probably you just trying to, like, shock and awe, snap me out of it. And I was like, man, Joe Mike Tanya is my best friend.
Joe Mike Jeff Tanya.
Now,
Doug, you still there?
Yeah.
Just ignore this.
Okay. Question though. I accepted it for that one. What about the kangaroo story?
No, that wasn't me. That was actually about another guy named Seth.
Seth
Farmer. Uh-huh. That was about Seth Farmer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
he was the kangaroo farmer.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. That was smuggling in the pouches.
I just wanted to come by and tell you.
Yeah, no, yeah, man.
Just wanted
to good to know you're not as crazy as I thought you were for 12 years.
Me too, man.
My brain thoughts.
Good to meet you, Doug.
Good to meet you.
Couldn't help but notice you guys weren't going to wash your hands.
Oh.
Oh.
Well, just happy to be able to use my hands again. So,
anyway, and now we have crossed a line. I feel like we can't go back.
Nope.
That really is.
Hey, look, Kai Kai.
Hey, there they are. This song's called Her.
It's Team Awesome Morning Party.
Now, Static.
Don't touch that dial. Listen to
Team Awesome Morning Party.
Cornerstone of any nutritious breakfast.
Well, I clicked the wrong button and I have to re-pull up the trap map there. Why can't I talk anymore?
Screaming at the Lobo game last night.
We were screaming at the Lobo game. All right, check it out. Way on the east side, past the mountains. Accident on ramp, I-40 west at Cedillo Hill. The right lane is also blocked, so be careful around there if you're coming in from the mountains. Also, accident Lomas Boulevard at San Pedro Drive Northeast. And we've got road construction all around the Albuquerque metro area and beyond. San Mateo Boulevard at San Diego Avenue Northeast. Closer to Rio Rancho, West Side, Unser Boulevard at Black Arroyo Boulevard. And we've got road construction. The left lane's closed, Lomas Boulevard West at Broadway Boulevard. Looks like a little bit of congestion on 40 eastbound around 8th Street, 12th Street, around that area. So be careful. Watch where you're going. Pay attention to what you're doing. That's your look at traffic.
Traffic brought to you by Solomon's Porch, 4001 Osuna Road Northeast on the Calvary campus. Phone number is 505-338-3669. It's 505-338-3669. Getting close to the 8 o'clock hour.
Yeah.
Coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, we got to talk about a company that promises to hand-deliver messages wrapped in hate and how it has exploded.
Oh.
Yeah, we'll tell you what that means.
Okay.
But in the meantime,
mm-hmm.
It's that time of year, Doug's favorite time of year.
Oh, yes, it is.
It's Oscars time.
Oscars time!
That's right. It is award ceremony time. I'm playing James Bond because I love those movies.
All right.
The list for the Oscars have released.
Let's see what we got. All right. Nominations by movie, the ones that have the most nominations.
Oh, okay.
Birdman, 9 nominations.
I want to see that movie.
I do too. Grand Budapest Hotel, which I thought was a great movie, 9 nominations. Imitation Game, starring Benedict Cumberbatch, 8 nominations. Boyhood, 6. American Sniper, which they have already seen but has not been released yet publicly, 6 nominations. Whiplash, 5. Interstellar, 5. Foxcatcher, 5.
All right.
All of these movies are supposed to be incredible.
Man, I want to see American Sniper. I really want to see Birdman.
Yeah. All right. Nominations for Best Picture for the 87th Academy Awards, Doug's favorite awards show. Doug, how much do you love it? Scale of 1 to 10. 11.
12?
Best Picture, American Sniper, Birdman, Boyhood, The Grand Budapest Hotel, The Imitation Game, Selma, The Theory of Everything, and Whiplash.
Okay.
Check out this actor in a leading role list. Steve Carell, Foxcatcher.
Wow.
He plays a creepy dude.
Yeah.
Bradley Cooper, American Sniper. Benedict Cumberbatch, The Imitation Game. Michael Keaton, Birdman. Eddie Redmayne, The Theory of Everything.
Wow. And Eddie won... Oh, wait. No. Oh, well, yeah. He did.
He won.
Here's the thing. Eddie Redmayne and
Michael Keaton.
Michael Keaton both won Golden Globes because it's technically two different categories, comedy and drama.
Right.
So that's interesting.
That is interesting. That is interesting. All right.
Because the other guys you got are Steve Carell, Bradley Cooper, and Benedict Cumberbatch.
I know!
Wow!
I guess it says here that American Sniper did not get much love from the Golden Globes, but apparently the Academy, the people that give out the Oscars, were stoked on that
All
movie.
Right. Man, see,
I want to see it.
Yeah.
It looks
intense. I do too. It really does. Every time a trailer comes on the TV, Jack and Luke both go, man, I really want to see that. I'm like, yeah, maybe in like 20 years?
Yeah.
When you're emotionally able to handle a film like that. Because I have a feeling it's going to be really heavy.
I don't think
heavy.
I'm going to be emotionally able to handle it.
Let's go together.
Okay. Actress in a leading role, Marion Cotillard, 2 days, one night. Felicity Jones, The Theory of Everything. Julianne Moore, Still Alice. Rosamund Pike, Gone Girl. Reese Witherspoon, Wild.
Wow.
The surprise here was Marion Cotillard. I think I'm saying that right because she's French. Because she edged out Jennifer Aniston, who is thought to have a shot for her buzzy performance in Cake. Also, Amy Adams, who just won a Golden Globe for Best Actress in a Comedy or Musical, did not make the list.
Interesting.
Julianne Moore is the favorite in this category.
All right.
Actor in a supporting role, Robert Duvall, The Judge, Ethan Hawke, Boyhood, Edward Norton, Birdman, Mark Ruffalo, Foxcatcher, J.K. Simmons, Whiplash.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So you've got Jonah Jameson.
Yeah.
You've got two iterations of the Hulk.
Yep. And Ethan Hawke, who was almost Doctor Strange.
Amazing.
Amazing. Actress in a supporting role, Patricia Arquette for Boyhood, Laura Dern for Wild, she was in Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
Emma Stone, Birdman, Keira Knightley, The Imitation Game, Meryl Streep, Into the Woods.
So we've got Gwen Stacy. We've also got Will Turner's chick from Pirates of the Caribbean.
We've got the witch from Into the Woods. We've got Ellie Sattler from Jurassic Park. And Patricia Arquette from...
Oh, Alabama Whirly.
Alabama Whirly.
True Romance.
True Romance. And then the last category we'll go over. There are a ton of categories, so
of
we'll spare you guys the the boredom.
Yeah.
Director. Alejandro González Iñárritu. No words. Birdman. Richard Linklater, Boyhood. Bennett Miller, Foxcatcher, Wes Anderson, The Grand Budapest Hotel. Morton Tilden, The Imitation Game.
Interesting.
Another interesting fact about it, it looks like some comic book movies got nominated. Makeup and hairstyling, Guardians of the Galaxy was nominated.
I wish they'd get more love. Like, I wish they would somehow get some kind of cool... I don't know.
Well, the one category that shows consistent love to big blockbuster action superhero movies
Visual effects.
So here are the nominees. Interstellar, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, Guardians of the Galaxy, Captain America, Winter Soldier, X-Men, Days of Future Past. Not included, Transformers, The Amazing Spider-Man 2. I guess the one...
Transformers was terrible.
Yeah, Transformers also led the Razzies.
Nice.
Yes.
Along with our boy Kirk Cameron.
Our boy Kirk Cameron.
We'll talk about that coming up in the 8 o'clock hour as well.
Yeah, we will. That'll
We've got a list of Razzies for those who don't know. That's the antithesis of the Oscars. The Razzies are the worst of the year.
The worst of the worst.
And is it surprising that, sadly, Kirk Cameron, I know Left Behind's all up in there as well.
Okay. Here's a big surprise.
Okay.
Best animated film.
Lego Movie!
Big Hero 6, How to Train Your Dragon 2, The Box Trolls, The Tale of Princess Kaguya, and Song of the Sea. Big
what?
Surprise, the Lego Movie not
what?
Even nominated.
Okay, get out, Oscars.
Get out.
Go home. Sleep it off. Seriously, you've had too much.
Had too much.
Are you kidding me? The Lego Movie was not nominated?
I guess Song of the Sea, it says... Under the Radar, yet to be released, Song of the Sea scored a nomination in place of Lego Movie. It had the fourth... Lego Movie had the fourth highest domestic box office returns in 2014 and
Dude,
was great.
It was fantastic. I watched that movie weekly with my kids.
It was a great movie.
It's like Brody's go-to movie right now, so it's like, all right, Lego Movie it is. I'm okay with that.
How to Train Your Dragon 2 won the Golden Globe.
Yeah.
And it was really good. Predictable.
Lego Movie was brilliant.
Yeah, it was.
Ah!
I'm not arguing, man. I agree. I'm pretty surprised that it's not up in there.
Well, it's just before 8 o'clock. Got to take a quick break. Coming back, we're going to talk about a few things. We'll talk about the Razzies, the antithesis of the Oscars, if you will. Let's see who is the worst of the worst, at least in the Razzies' opinion, for 2014. And thinking of the worst, a mere 24 hours after it launched, a website which allows you to do something gnarly to your enemies, promising letters sent with hate.
Yes.
Exploded. We'll talk about what those letters entail. And, man, I guess I shouldn't say I'm surprised that this company is already, like, just blown up.
It's pretty.
But it's an interesting thing.
It's interesting. That's the best way to put it.
Smiting your enemies.
Smiting them in a way that you might not expect to smite them.
Yeah. We'll talk about that on the way back as well. It's Team Awesome Morning Party.
Now.
Static.
3, 2, 1. Welcome back.
Now back to Team Awesome Morning Party on Static Radio.
Let's take a quick look at traffic, shall we? We have an accident off to the side, I-40 West at University Boulevard. Also, an accident reported 98th at Gibson. That's a new one that's popped up on the map. And then over in the East Mountains, accident on the on-ramp, I-40 West at Cedillo Hill. That right lane is blocked with that accident. Also, let's see, we have long-term road construction, San Mateo Boulevard at San Diego Avenue Northeast. Major road construction, Unser Boulevard at Black Arroyo Boulevard, as well as road construction. The left lane is closed. Lomas Boulevard West at, disappeared. Broadway Boulevard, a little bit of congestion on 40 eastbound around the Coors intersection, as well as westbound around Eubank, Wyoming, that area. So you guys be careful. Pay attention to what you're doing. That's your look at traffic.
Traffic brought to you by Solomon's Porch, 4001 Osuna Road Northeast, on the Calvary campus. Phone number is 505-338-3669. That's 505-338-3669. Welcome!
Yeah!
To Team Awesome Morning Party. Joining us in studio this morning, it's Thursday. It's 8 o'clock hour. Clay Schroff!
That's a heck of an introduction.
Yeah, that's you, buddy.
That is so awesome.
You know,
technically it's supposed to be Michelle today, but she says, since you're dropping your son off at school, why don't you just go
why don't you just go hang out with those goobers?
But we're always so happy to come.
Yeah.
On a really serious note.
Yeah, it's always good to have you here.
The static listeners are some of our most loyal contributors when we need help.
Awesome. Dude, it's pretty cool to hear. Pretty cool to hear. We like being a part of the family Day Aspen Project.
And then I was downtown yesterday just killing some time and went into, help me, what was the comment?
Astro Zombies.
Astro Zombies. What a cool place.
Yeah. The owner, Mike, supportive of Comics Corner here and also heads up a nonprofit organization here in Albuquerque called Comics Cause, doing really great things for children.
So. Yeah, I mentioned that the only reason I stopped in was because of I heard him on the station, and he was just so cool.
He's a really great dude, huh? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Like that guy.
Lots of guys in there, though, that we could just be helping. Looks like he had a lot of at-risk youth.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and you don't think about stuff like that. I love the way your brain works, Clay. I really do. Talk a little bit about the Aspen Project real quick for those who may be new to the station or don't know what it is that you do.
You know, I'm going to tell it a little different.
Perfect.
We'll start backwards.
Okay.
We work with anybody who's imprinting Christ on a child's heart. And that could be anything from a pro-life ministry where we have Youth for Life. We stand out on the street corner. And we do it on Fridays when the young ladies have already had the abortion and they're mm-hmm. going in to have the dead child taken out of them. And we want them to know that God loves them.
Yeah.
So we can either do it there. We do mentorship programs like Project Zoe, which is a little boutique off of Montgomery and Morris that we need clothes for, new or like new. Mm. Did I say new or like new, please?
Yeah, I heard that.
That we give to at-risk girls. And it's just a way. It's not about the clothes. It's not about getting them the jobs. It's not about the continuing education, because that's all part of what we do. It's all about getting a chance to share Christ with them and making them ask us why we're doing what we're doing.
Mm.
So there's mentorship programs, adoption and foster care. We work a lot with that.
Mm-hmm.
And then we help, any organization that's imprinting Christ on a child's heart.
Yeah.
Human trafficking is a big deal right now. We've been contacted by the Sheriff's Department asking us some opinions on where they can be going, because we're working with those girls.
Yeah.
And those girls don't talk to them, so they'll obviously talk to us. So we are super, super stoked.
Yeah, dude. Doing
we're exploding,
so
too.
So much.
If, something new for 2015, and I very seldom talk about it, but we're going to need, we need help financially, only in the sense that God has some pretty big plans. So if you're writing your budget out, because I know we do, we support certain ministries.
Yeah.
If you wouldn't mind just putting us on that list as little or as much as you can. Or if you are a billionaire, this goes out every time, and you would like to make me a millionaire so I can quit my job and do this full time, we would really appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. AspenProject.org. And again, Clay, I was thinking about you this morning. I saw a statistic on, it was just, you know, a little quip on Twitter talking about what is backwards and wrong with this nation when it costs nearly $40,000 for an adoption, but only $400 for an abortion. And that's where we're at. And I was kind of staggered a bit. Because we have friends who are, you know, adopt right. overseas, and you don't think about the costs.
$40,000.
You don't think about the costs associated with that, but or what families go through, who are wanting a child, and it's nearly impossible, but it is so easy to just walk into a clinic.
Well, you know, it's our taxpayers. Am I allowed to talk like that? I hope so. Because here's the fact. I know that my tax dollars help fund abortions.
Yeah.
If that's the case, and I even if it's not the case, but it is, I think that, you know, our tax dollars need to help fund adoption.
Yeah.
You know, you get if you make a certain amount of money, you can't take advantage of this, but you do get some refunds back at the end of the year. But truthfully, there needs to be governmental agencies other than Children, Youth, and Family yeah. that are helping families do home studies and get these kids into homes. $40,000 for another human being sounds like slavery to me.
Right. So
that's a buying and selling of another human being.
And here's the crazy thing. A lot of times, you know, these are things we don't think about when we find out that friends are adopting or going through the process. Because as you mentioned, you know, oh, hey, check it out. There's going to be some tax breaks for you. If you make less than this much, the government's going to give you some money back. Well, chances are if you make less than this much, you don't have 40 grand lying around. You know what I mean? You don't have that excess cash lying around that you can go, oh, I'll front this and then 9 months from now get my tax refund. Oh, totally. That's going to work out. It doesn't work out like that.
It doesn't. Mm. And it makes it hard.
It really does.
It makes it really hard for yeah. so many families to adopt. Now, we do direct a lot of families through Children, Youth, and Family, and we love them.
Yeah.
But, you know, there are some complications, of course, that come with that. There's a lot of things that we could see changed. Yeah. I also think it's the church's responsibility to maybe help out in certain areas like
yeah.
that. It
yeah.
is a lifelong commitment that somebody is making. So to hopefully, if they're doing it for the same reasons that we do it as the Aspen Project, it's to save a soul. You bring Man. A child into a home so that they can hear about Jesus Christ and perhaps through their choice only get to spend eternity with their Heavenly Father. And there are a lot of activities going on in Albuquerque, a lot of different churches that come alongside their congregations and mm-hmm. help. But it's hard. $40,000, that's a bunch of money.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it when I read that this morning. But all it takes is the right person. All it takes is that person who has the means, that God has blessed, to in turn pour out blessing upon someone else. I know this morning we were talking off air a little bit about the one, the only, T. Swift. Mm. And she's recently been doing a lot for her fans, actually. And it was kind of interesting to read what she's been doing. Teo?
Yeah, Taylor Swift, you guys know her. She's actually been sending out a bunch of care packages to her biggest fans or whatever with this new record that came out. It's called 1989. And I guess her fans send proof of the package back. They'll film like videos opening the package,
yeah.
you know, and tag her in it. But she sent a girl named Rebecca Bortnicker a package. And there was one special gift inside that made this girl break down in tears. It was a check for $1,989 to help with student loans.
Yeah.
So the new album being 1989.
Yeah.
So this was a little bit towards those student loans. And she wrote a note to the girl saying that she's so beautiful and positive. And a little zip baggie that said, now you're $1,989 closer to paying off those student loans. Pretty cool.
And she's been doing that, you know, yeah, you think, she's sent out a ton of T-Swift, what's $2,000 to her? But she's been doing not just one person, but to many people.
Many fans.
Imagine if our listeners, imagine if Christians were listening and actually cared or thought enough to go, hey, man, the life of a child is so important. Mm-hmm. Let's do what we can. I am that person. I have the means. How can I get involved? That's why we love having you on.
You know, and this is what we find. Like, you know, for Christmas, we took all those presents out. It was phenomenal. Check it out on our Facebook page.
Yeah.
And then on we still have gifts left over, so we went out on New Year's Day and did it
again. That's so cool.
And did I mention we still have some gifts left over?
Yeah.
So we're gonna go out before Easter and invite everyone to the Easter sunrise service. But let me tell you the difference that it makes, and then another point. First of all, the people that we knocked on their doors, we were at risk areas.
Yeah.
You know, we asked the cops. By the way, thank you for Albuquerque Police Department for escorting us to the places that they had to visit the most.
Yeah.
And that's what we asked them. Where do you visit the most for domestic violence and family affairs type stuff? They said, are you sure you really want to go there? We had a wonderful time. You'd knock on the door and you'd have some guy answer the door like, what the you want?
Yeah.
It'd be like, hey, we're here in the name of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
We're with the Aspen Project. We're just giving out gifts. No obligation to you. You just have to listen to me preach the gospel for about 5-10 minutes.
Yeah.
Because I always do things in a brief manner.
Yeah.
But it was really cool. And they'd be like, really? Really? And, you know, it was really cool because not only did APD get to hand out gifts and we're getting hugs from people, and it was so cool to see that. Because they're generally going there to break up family affairs.
Yeah.
But, I mean, these people came to us and said, it's so cool what you guys are doing. With that being said, we had such a small amount of volunteers.
Yeah.
And I say that, we had a lot, but I look throughout the church, and I look throughout all of the different ministries and the sacrifices that is needed. And if it comes to a sacrifice, there's always such a small amount of volunteers, and they're the same people. Time after time after time. And listen, I'm not getting on any of the listeners, but for 2015, make it a goal to break out of your comfort zone. Break out and go do something that you otherwise wouldn't do. You know, I love going downtown. I have to drop my son off at a doctor's appointment once a week. And so I go downtown. And that's why I went to the Astro Zombies.
Oh, yeah, I was there,
right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I love going in and just talking with people.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing and what's going on? And and then letting them know that, because we are a pull ministry. I want them to say, why are you being so nice to me? Well, it's because Christ first loved me.
Yeah.
So we want them to initiate the whys. You do it however you want, or just ask people you can pray for them.
Yeah.
That's something else I've done. We had a waitress that was being as friendly as she possibly couldn't be. And we finally, at the end, I just asked. I said, hey, is there something I can pray for you about? And she almost broke into tears. She couldn't tell us exactly what it was, but there was something going on in her life. And that's what I want to challenge the listeners to do. Let's break out of our comfort zones.
Yeah.
And when you see that someone's having a hard time, why don't we just make it an effort to say, hey, can I pray for you? What's going on in your life? And let them see the love of Christ. I'm really excited about Calvary's new series.
Yeah. Me too, man.
Yeah. Super excited. It's so much about what Project Zoe and Aspen Project's all about.
So true.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm super stoked. If everyone can catch on,
that's really cool.
Yeah.
Our ministry should not be blowing up the way that it should, because there should be so many people doing what we're trying to do.
It should be more of an ordinary
thing.
That
we were like, oh, okay, you don't really need us anymore. and that's kind of the goal.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we can only do what we can do now, this side of heaven.
Yeah.
After that, we're only going to be around a bunch of saved people.
Dude, aspenproject.org. We posted all the details. Facebook.com/MyAestheticRadio. While you're there, you can also check out information on the Jesus Loves People series, JesusLovesPeople.com. And I know they posted some photos, some things for you that you can tag people in, and you can get the word out for the new series, because I agree. I think it's amazing to see what 2015 is bringing, and that it is wrapped in a bow of love. Speaking of, coming up, we want to talk about what is actually blowing up, sadly. This new website, brand new business that is revenge on your enemies. It's a new company that is promising to send a gift wrapped in hate. And we'll tell you what those gifts are coming up. But yeah, So it's the antithesis, and it's really interesting to see what is exploding in the world in 2015 mm-hmm. and what we're seeing in the Christian culture.
Light and darkness.
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, our new t-shirts are out at Parchments.
Oh, good. Okay, cool.
Please, please, please.
Yeah.
It's Freedom Matters.
Okay.
And, of course, if please read the tags or go on our Facebook page, it actually tells you.
Yeah.
And the other one is You Are Free, and it really talks a little bit about human trafficking.
Yeah.
They're great shirts.
Yeah. These look really good.
Super stoked.
Guys, I tagged both Aspen Project and Project Zoe on Facebook. You can click their links, head over to their Facebooks, give them a like, and then direct message them so you can get involved.
There you go. All right. Dude.
Static Radio is a drop-off point for anything that you guys do for Aspen Project or Project Zoe.
Booyah.
So thank you for that. That or American Toyota.
Dude. Yeah, speaking of.
I gotta talk
about it. We'll talk.
You're getting chickens in a van!
Oh, man.
Chickens in a van.
Chickens in a van.
Oh,
hey, call Taylor Swift. Tell her we got a new song for her.
Yeah, we'll call it.
Chickens and
she's going back to the country.
Get T Swift on the phone.
We'll get her. Coming up, we are going to talk a little bit about this company that launched promising gifts wrapped in hate for your enemies. We'll talk about what that gift entails. It's coming up next on Team Awesome Morning Party.
Now.
Static.
Here we go. I'll have that party, and it'll be fun.
This is going to be a real party, isn't it?
Ain't no party like a Team Awesome Morning Party, because a Team Awesome Morning Party party don't stop.
This show is so clever.
Hey-o. Let's take a look at Traffico and see what's up.
Oh, no.
Accident off to the side, I-40 East at 12th Street. That's where it was getting a little clogged up earlier.
A little dicey.
But that's what happened. Also, we've got accident off to the side, I-40 West at University Boulevard, and that's exit 159D. We've got an accident reported at 98th and Gibson. And then over in the East Mountains, accident right lane is blocked, I-40 West at Cedillo Hill. We've got, am I saying that right? Cedillo? Cedillo? It's not Cedillo. Not out here.
No.
Can't be. Because there's a town in Mississippi called Saltillo.
Ah.
But if you go to like...
Saltillo.
Yeah, it's Saltillo. Saltillo. Anyway.
Well, Amarillo is really Amarillo.
Yeah, when Teddy joined the band, he kept calling Amarillo Amarillo. He'd go to Amarillo, Texas, and we're like, it's Amarillo. There are country songs written about it.
Amarillo by morning.
Also, we've got major road construction, Unser Boulevard at Black Arroyo Boulevard. We have long-term road construction, San Mateo Boulevard at San Diego Avenue Northeast. And we've got, road construction. The left lane is closed, Lomas Boulevard West at Broadway Boulevard. That's your look at traffic.
Traffic brought to you by Solomon's Porch, 4001 Osuna Road Northeast on the Calvary campus. Phone number 505-338-3669.
Yeah.
Good morning. Welcome to Team Awesome Morning Party. We're excited coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. Of course, Theology Thursday.
Yeah!
Beenix, Jared Petro, us. Going to talk a little bit about repentance, forgiveness, how that works. Can they work apart from each other? We got a great email question.
Yeah, we do. We have a solid email question. It's going to be fun.
Dude, we were just talking with Clay Schroff about the Aspen Project and, of course, the brand new series coming to Calvary Albuquerque. Jesus Loves People. Really, really excited about this. JesusLovesPeople.com. But I thought it was interesting, considering we found this story this morning. A 22-year-old created a website, and 24 hours after it was launched, it's already up for sale.
Yeah.
Here's why. It exploded. People came in droves and realized, hey, wait, I too have enemies. Yes. I hate.
I've heard of this word, this concept called enemies. I would love to send them something.
Sydney-based website actually allows people to anonymously harass their enemies. Matt Carpenter newly launched a business anonymously to anonymously send envelopes full of glitter to your enemies upon request. He put the website up for sale after already earning a five-figure sum in less than 24 hours.
Wow.
Tao, what are we doing, man?
Not having good enough ideas to do something cool like that, I know. Doug, do you have any cool ideas? Ever heard of
No, me either.
Global success just hours after it launched. The website actually had to temporarily suspend sales.
Wow.
When he was bombarded with
it was crashing.
Thousands.
Oh,
of
my
requests.
Gosh.
Yeah.
So tell the people what happened.
$10. And this guy promises to send your enemies a letter wrapped in hate.
Wrapped in hate.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, now hate is kind of
That's a strong word, man.
Hate is a strong word, but I really, really, really don't like you.
Yeah.
That's a song.
There you go.
Hate is also kind of more of a concept or an emotion. So how do you wrap something in hate?
It says each package will be individually wrapped with hate by this dude himself. It's $10 an envelope. They may seem harmless, but you know, if you have kids, you know how awful glitter is. Glitter is the bane of my existence.
Wait, glitter?
Glitter.
Glitter?
Glitter.
Like fistful of glitter?
Yes.
Like dance party glitter?
Yes.
Like Celeste in the afternoon glitter?
12 hours later, you're like taking a shower and there's still glitter everywhere and you're like, where did this glitter, you find glitter, like there's glitter in my armpit. How did glitter get in my armpit?
How is this?
I was fully clothed.
That was last weekend.
Dude, I'm telling you, glitter.
By the way, if you ever wake up and you have just glitter on you and you don't know what happened, worry.
Worry.
You need to worry.
Worry a lot.
You need to be
glitter
concerned.
Sticks to clothes, skin, hair, furniture.
Everything.
Has this weird, freaky ability to show up when you least expect it.
Weeks after.
Yeah.
Weeks later, you're like, what?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. This dude says that the packaging of the envelopes, this is the hate-filled process. It's an extremely messy process.
Mm.
People who use the service can now cause the maximum amount of irritation to their enemies without any personal pain. Because, you know, when working with glitter...
Yeah.
When working with glitter, it gets everywhere. All over the place. He said, you can do it yourself if you want, but then you have to handle the glitter, making your own house full of glitter. Let me be your glitter bomb.
Yeah. Let me be your glitter bomb.
Yeah. I remember one time Celeste and Mitch glitter bombed me here at the station, and I had confetti and glitter all over me, and it was just about the worst thing that's ever happened to me.
Steve-O, listen, I'm just hanging out on the internet over here. Can you maybe just throw your address out real quick?
Don't really
ask me why I need it. Hang on.
The website already has glowing reviews from thrilled customers. I don't know how real these are. It's only been around for like a day. Well, I guess it shut down and came back already. But
oh, it's back.
One review said, I bought this for my husband. He opened the mail before work and got it everywhere. He had to change, was late for work, and might be getting fired. LOL.
Oh, gosh.
How is this real?
By the way, we can't give this website out because it is literally glittered with profanity.
Yeah, I was going to say, it is the worst.
Thank you, Doug.
Another glowing review. For my one-year anniversary, I didn't know what to get my wife, so I bought this thinking it would be funny. It wasn't. I'm now divorced, broke, and living with my best friend. I'd like to talk with the owner to get a refund and discuss damages. There's no way these are real.
Wouldn't you rather say that it's shimmering, not necessarily glowing?
Although some believe the website is just a gag, the administrators promised the company's real, explaining they spent way too much time, way too much money, and way too many resources putting this website up not to get paid for it.
Here's a quote. Just getting in touch to say that I don't recommend sniffing glitter. My nose now bleeds randomly. That comes from Armando. Okay. Here's another quote. For my 1 year anniversary, I didn't know what to get my wife.
I just read that!
Oh, man. Dang it. That's such a good one. Can we read it again?
Such a good one.
We really cannot read a lot of these. These reviews are
terrible!
Yeah.
Yeah, so 24 hours after this 22-year-old.
Man.
Put this business on the web. 24 hours later, he's already selling it. And had to suspend sales because he said he's going to be spending the next few weeks sending stupid glitter to terrible people.
Gosh.
He didn't realize there were so many people in the world who hated others. But instantaneously, sending your enemies glitter I can't imagine everybody's on there just like, oh man, Bob in accounting. That guy's getting a glitter email.
I cannot stand him.
I almost feel like this was just funny, people trying to be funny with their friends. I don't know. Yeah. Either way, 1 million visits to the websites, 270,000 social shares already on social media.
Incredible.
In 24 hours. Yeah.
By
24
now.
Hours old. He's already trying to sell the company. It's ridiculous.
This is insane.
Yeah. So apparently, hey, guys, if you're trying to make a quick buck,
yeah,
all you got to do is find a way to smite other people's enemies.
Oh.
Because apparently, that's the normative these days.
And see, this is the thing. It's relatively harmless. It's glitter.
I don't know. Armando sniffed some and now he's randomly.
That's on Armando. You don't go sticking your nose where it's not supposed to be going. Sniffing everything in your path. What are you, a tiger shark of noses? You don't do that.
That's true. That's true. Amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is all the more reminder, in all seriousness, JesusLovesPeople.com, brand new series coming up. And it's just interesting to see how this company in 24 hours exploded because people were either A, really wanting to smite their enemies, or it's just kind of hilarious. And I really want to get you a glitter ball.
Right. You want to get me one? Please don't send it to our place.
I was going
to
say, when you guys were gone, I took care of the cats, and I wouldn't do that to your apartment, because you guys have this rad apartment. And
I love our little place.
But you've got, like, the, I don't want to say shag, shag carpet?
It's the carpet that would never let go of glitter.
Yeah, exactly. It's, like, long carpet. It would be dreadful.
It's the, you're never getting your deposit back.
Yeah.
It's that kind of carpet.
It's that kind of carpet.
Right.
Amazing. Yeah, I promise. No, none glitter sent to you.
Now, what kind of carpet do Mitch and Kelly have in their place?
Oh, don't they have like a...
I don't know.
Tile or something? They have like... Right?
Doug.
Concrete.
Can you... Doug,
see?
Would
it'd
you...
be easy for them to get up. Oh,
just,
come on.
Just find out Mitch's address.
Let's see if we can... We'll talk to the front desk. We'll see what we can
do. We'll figure it out. Not a problem. Not a problem.
Yeah. Oh, man. Coming up, really excited about this. We got our boys, B-Nix. That's Brian Nixon.
Mm-hmm.
And Jared Petro.
Yes.
Coming in studio, hanging out with us, because, of course, the 9 o'clock hour brings us the joys, the wonder, the excitement known as Theology Thursday.
Whoa! Radio version.
It's on the way. It's Team Awesome Morning Party.
Now.
Static.
What are you talking about?
What kind of talk is this anyway?
Theology Thursday with Steve-O and Mateo. Featuring pastors Brian Nixon and Jared Petro.
Here it comes.
Let's begin.
Yes! Welcome to Theology Thursday.
Hello.
Welcome. Thank you for having us.
Steve-O, Mateo, joined by our amazing guests. Pastors Brian Nixon
Howdy.
And Jared Petro. You guys are awesome.
You guys are awesome.
It's been
it's good to
way
be here.
Too
we got
long.
The team together, man.
Gosh.
This is like this is it.
The A team is here.
A team.
Finally.
Wonder Twins. What is it? Wonder Twins unite and then they hit the rings.
Wonder Twins activate or
activate,
something.
Activate. That's
Wonder
it.
Wonder Twin powers activate.
There you go.
All
right, here we go.
Welcome to Theology Thursday. Yes, it is our 1 hour call-in show centered around. Well, different theological discussions. Maybe you heard something from the pulpit. You're like, what? That's not what I think or believe or know to be true. And or you were reading scripture and you just had a question about something. Maybe you were confronted by a non-believing friend and you just didn't know how to respond. Or maybe just friends with different theological viewpoints, and or maybe you're just studying. You want to grow. You want to go deeper. That's what Theology Thursday is all about. So feel free to ask the hard questions. We get questions many different ways. You can email us studio@mystaticradio.com. Is a great way to get it to us instantaneously. You can also chime in on Facebook, facebook.com/mystaticradio. And I know we all love taking phone calls because then if there are second questions or restating of things, that's usually the best way. 505-338-3700, the phone number. That's 505-338-3700. B-Nix, Petro, how was your guys' Christmas? I haven't seen you guys. In
weeks. You were on vacation. Everything was really great, and had a lot of family here and a lot of family functions. Obviously, did a lot here at Calvary Albuquerque for the holidays, and wonderful Christmas program and just a beautiful time.
Yeah.
Yeah, for me, well, we went to California to see some family.
Nice.
Went surfing in Pacifica on Lindemar Beach. Shout out to NorCal, surf shop there. It was great. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Cold, but good. So.
Yeah, we went to Florida. Shout out to Central Florida. Went to Mississippi.
He did.
Shout out to the entire state of Mississippi because it's too small to be divided into sections.
Shout out to my bro, Brian, who I met at the Whole Foods in Long Beach.
Yeah.
He's my new bro.
Steve-O made a new best friend at the Whole Foods in Huntington Beach.
I believe it.
You know,
is that off 17th Street by the Taco Bell Del Taco? Yeah.
Gosh, hug it out, bro.
Ready? I love you.
Yeah, dude.
Black Flies right around the corner. Vans. Did you go to the van shop?
We didn't go to the van shop.
On 17th?
Here's the thing, though. Like, the interesting thing is so many things now are online. So I wanted to just, like, we hit the beach. Like, we went to Huntington.
Like, hey, dude, what's up? Where you from? Want to go surf?
Me and
surf
Jack,
Orange Street.
I've told this story so many times. It's just terrible. But we went in because, you know, poor Brody, he's got a gluten and dairy allergy. So it's like that dude can't eat anything, right?
Oh, man.
You got to go into like one of them hippie grocery stores.
Yeah.
Of which Whole Foods is one.
So
we went in there and Chrissy and Luke and Brody went off this way and Jack and I went off the other way because we're splitting up to try and, you know, how you do at the grocery store.
Oh, you have to.
Bro, gluten-free bread, you get this, I'll get this. And so...
Divide and conquer.
I ran into this dude and was like, hey, bro, got a quick question. My child's got, you know, da-da-da. And he was like, oh, bro, all right, so where are you from?
Yeah.
Right. Albuquerque, New Mexico. Oh, no way. La Cumbre Brewery is in Albuquerque, New Mexico. It's like,
wow.
All right, right on.
It used to be Breaking Bad, but now it's the breweries.
That literally was the first thing that he noted from Albuquerque, New Mexico. But he totally talked like, and Jack was just like, just taken aback because all of a sudden my doppelganger was in front of me. And
did he have his board shorts on?
20
t-shirt?
Minutes later, he had his Rainbows. Whole Foods trucker hat on that said Long Beach on the back. It was great. I loved it. So we had a blast out there. It was great to visit. I don't think I could ever live there, dude. Cost of living is ridiculous.
Pretty expensive.
Yeah, so, yeah, I enjoyed my time there. But anyways, we are here hanging, talking theology. And, man, anything and everything you want to talk about, 505-338-3700. The phone lines are open. We did get a pretty great email question.
Yes, let's start with it.
Let's roll.
Teased it earlier in the program.
Okay, let me talk to you guys. Question. Can one receive forgiveness without repentance? Lately, my pastor has been preaching on the gift of grace, salvation, but never mentions repentance. In Mark chapter 1, when Jesus comes out of the desert, Jesus says, "Repent and believe in the gospel." I believe this means that you cannot have one without the other. Our pastor also got upset because our missions leader put a sign up on our missions board saying people are being offended. The sign says, "Repent," in big red letters.
Yeah.
And I think it's got like a quote from Jesus thing. And the pastor said to the missions board director, missions leader, "People are being offended," and the pastor doesn't like the sign. Please respond by email or on the show, preferably both. Thank you for your super awesome show. Steve-O, I love you, man, mainly because you're a Star Wars freak. Okay. God bless you with his love and grace.
Yeah, and also with you.
And lightsaber.
Yeah. May the force be with you.
Who did this person leave a name? Just their first name or something?
Ed.
All right, Ed. Thank you for your question. It's a very good question, actually.
It is.
It has a lot of theological overtones to it, biblical overtones. Let me say, though, if you dig deep into this particular email we received, it does appear that there could be some sort of church situation going on. I'm not going to address the church situation. It sounds like maybe the missions pastor and the pastor need to sit down and discuss and pray and have some heart-to-heart in that area. But the heart of the question is forgiveness. Can someone be forgiven without repenting? And that is an amazing question because here's the reality that the Bible, from the Old Testament to the New Testament, does talk about repentance, that we do need to repent. You could go back to the book of Isaiah, to Jeremiah, and in any given situation or circumstance, God has always yearned for his people, be it the Jews of old or the Christians of today, to have a repentant heart, to turn from their sins and turn to God. So repentance is part of the forgiveness etiquette, if you will. Now, can God forgive someone who hasn't repented? Well, God could do whatever the Lord desires in his heart. However, it seems to me that the totality of biblical teaching is that repentance and forgiveness are tied. As a matter of fact, if you were to go to Luke 24:47, some of the final comments Jesus has to say regarding repentance and forgiveness and everything else of that nature, Jesus ties the two together, that we are to preach, go out and preach repentance. So I believe that they really should be conjoined. There should be a coming together of forgiveness and repentance. Now, without getting too theological here, the question arises, can I be forgiven without repentance? That would almost be saying like, well, then I don't know why I need to be forgiven.
Right.
It's almost like saying, God's just going to forgive me, and I don't know why I need to be forgiven. Really, sin is pretty self-evident. Yeah. Sins of omission, sins of commission, sins that we know and we don't know. But the reality is, I think the state of our heart, what we need to do coming before the Lord, would precipitate us saying, I'm a sinner. I'm in need. I did wrong. I blew it in this situation. I need to turn to you, Lord. That's the act of repentance. And then the Lord will forgive us. But could the Lord just forgive? I don't know. Jarrett, you weigh in on it.
Yeah, I would say, my heart kind of goes out, hearing this from a pastor, the point of view. Often, right now in a church, it seems like there's this move, if you will, that if somebody doesn't hear the law, if they don't hear, the law in the sense of the fulfillment of that, then therefore, and they don't repent of that, that we need the law to bring the awareness that there is sin. And with this same move, this is what it sounds like to me, is that this is what they're dealing with, is that this heavy thing on repentance. Now, I say it this way, and I use John chapter 1, when it talks about believing you shall receive him, and that repentance and believing are synonymous according to the Word of God. When Jesus said, if you call upon me, you believe in him, that repentance is included in that. Repentance simply means to turn away from something, turn from something, like a preposition, from, and then turn to God. And so you're turning from something, turning to God. Jesus, as John even declared, he said that he who was in the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all that did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God, not born of the will of the flesh or of blood or the will of man, but of God. And so, again, usually when you're preaching on salvation, and there are other verses that don't actually use the word repentance within those passages, it doesn't mean that they're not included. Again, it's synonymous. It means that they're the one and the same. When Jesus said, all you need to do is believe and receive, and that's by his own words, if you receive, believe and receive in him, it's not excluding repentance at all. If anything, it's included within that. So, even again, to clarify, I'd say for anybody who's walked with the Lord, you know quite well that repentance is included.
Yeah.
So it's that simple, but yet it can be something dynamic that can, if you don't use the word repentance when you preach the gospel, you're going to have a problem. Well, you could say if you believe, you receive. But yeah, there does need to be repentance.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying. But yeah, sometimes we don't use that exact word repentance.
I was going to say in the word repentance, it seems in the modern Christian culture, at least, it's kind of become more synonymous with confession. The idea of repentance means
very good. Yeah,
to repent of my sins means I've got to go to every single person
that,
I've
right?
wronged. Yeah, I've got to go to every single person I've wronged. I've got to tell them all my faults. So if I don't confess this sin to this person that I wronged, or if I don't, then I must not be forgiven. I must not be saved.
saved.
Excellent
and,
point.
And so it could very well be, I mean, this is getting even deeper theologically, but talking about that concept, it's kind of where we've come to, this confession idea, because you'll hear some say,
right,
no, you got to tell everyone everything you've ever done. Don't use discernment in any way, shape, or form. Just blurt everything out right, always, because you just got to make sure that you're, you know, repentant and that you confess all sins to all men at all times.
Yeah, two different words too, right?
Right.
We get to confess to the Lord, and repentance should always be looked at as a privilege, that we get the chance to repent, and that means to turn from our old way, to turn to God, and we do that on multiple levels. As a believer, there should be a continuation, if you will, of repentance and confession daily, yeah, as it says in 1 John chapter 2, verse, I believe, 9, where it says that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just, you know, to cleanse us.
And I appreciate what you're saying, Jarrett and Steve-O, because there shouldn't really be a legalistic type of trip thrown on someone if you don't use the word repent in this situation. Because as Jarrett pointed out, repentance and forgiveness, or the remission of sins, usually do go hand in hand. There's a symbiotic relationship, if you will, between them. Again, I pointed out Luke 24, but there in 24:47, Jesus is speaking right before he ascends to heaven, and he says, and that repentance and remission of sins, aka forgiveness, should be preached in his name. And in that word remission, there is just a cancellation of a debt or a penalty. It's you know, a formal equivalence, if you will, forgiving sin. So Jesus, I think, taught and clearly understood that repentance and forgiveness go hand in hand. But to get all tripped out about it, get into some kind of legalistic state, I don't know if that's healthy for anyone.
I want to leave you with one other verse. In John chapter 6, it says in verse 28, when someone approaches Jesus and says, as they said to him, what must we do to be saved, or even do the works of God? And Jesus answered these words, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. That's it. So Jesus obviously didn't use the word repentance, but again, it doesn't negate, you know, it doesn't mean that you shouldn't repent. Again, repentance, as Brian said, it goes along with believing. And when Jesus uses that word belief, it has a fuller meaning than just, well, okay, believe, because it even says in James, in comparison, even demons believe that there's a God, and yet they tremble, and yet they're not going to heaven. Because, again, the idea behind when Jesus says, just believe, without using the word repentance, he actually does mean you must turn from your sin. Believing has a further or deeper meaning, to believe completely, wholly. So, I hope that helps.
Yeah. 505-338-3700, the phone number. That's 505-338-3700. Of course, you can also chime in anonymously if you'd like through email, studio@mystaticradio.com, or, of course, facebook.com/mystaticradio.
We got this email a few days ago, and we're going to get to it.
Let's do it.
All right. Okay. Hey, guys, I'm going to jump right in. Recently, there was a teenager who was born male, but everything in him told him he was actually a female. He or she committed suicide because the parents were forcing this person to go to conversion therapy, I think is what... Yes, conversion therapy, which is practically just trying to convince someone they aren't what they feel they are, which I think isn't really a smart idea and messes up people, obviously, since Christ and the working of the Holy Spirit is the only way to change something like that. Similar to my depression, a chemical imbalance, something that has come as a result of the fall, it can be healed and leave through the healing of the Holy Spirit. So me and my wife were discussing this, and we came to a disagreement where I thought the fallen part of this person's body was the chemical imbalance, therefore they were really a male, the way they were born, but she thought that since everything in their head thought they were a female, the fallen part of the body must be the actual body. Man. People are born blind and disfigured as well. Could you help us understand which part of the body is a result of the fall in this kind of situation? Thanks for everything you guys do. Keep on rocking the truth to those who need to hear it. Did y'all hear the story?
Fascinating question. Mm-hmm. Let me just say here that and I'm going to answer it simply, and then we could break it down into parts. Simply put, the totality of a human being is subject and under the fall. The whole person, body, mind, soul, and spirit, is subjugated to the fall, to that original sin, is what we call it. Now, what is interesting in this dialogue between this husband and wife is that they're taking what some people would say is a tripart of a human being. Some people would say there's the dipart of a human being, or three parts to a human, or two parts to the human, and that's an ongoing debate, by the way. And then they're trying to say, well, this was affected by the fall. This, let's say, the mental soul portion was affected by the fall, but the body was not. Clearly, what we get in Scripture is that the full person was affected by the fall. Body, mind, soul, and spirit. Interestingly enough, when you look at sin, sin has its full effect in the totality of the person. Not just our spirit, not just our soul, not just our mind, but in our body as well. You see components that were manifest at sin, at the point of the original sin, that play out in the physical nature, meaning that we die physically, we have physical ailments, there are diseases, there are these other things that have a physical consequence because of sin. So I would probably side with the fella in this case saying that the full person is subject to sin, not just a particular component of the person.
Yeah, and then there's the reminder, you know, as you're listening here on Static, you know, when someone comes to Christ, the beauty of this, again, within Christ, as Brian says, the body, soul, and spirit are affected. And in 2 Corinthians, Paul reminds us that if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old is passed away. Behold, the new has come. And so as he speaks about that, we're a new creation. Well, what does that mean? I think Paul also in Romans 12, 1 and 2, when he speaks about that you should lay your life down as a living sacrifice, your body, he says your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to the Lord, which is your spiritual worship. So it includes the body, the spirit here. And then Paul says, do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, the intellectual. So you have all the trichotomy, if you will, as Brian was mentioning, the body, soul, and spirit being transformed by the renewing of the word and by renewed of the mind through the word of God, that you may know what is the perfect will of God. So again, I would say as you listen to this, and sadly enough, this teen, as a result, committed suicide, yes. Correct? And because of the physiological part of this person, people are born sometimes with different parts and such, whether in the confusion of that. But overarching, you got to realize, you know, that we know people who can look at physically what they're like. And I think of whether it's someone dealing with homosexuality or whatever right. It could be, because you begin to think of those things. When you come to Christ, you are a new creation, no matter what it is. And Paul, again, is very thorough in the New Testament that your body, your soul, and spirit are renewed according to the word as a new creation. And we're to lay that down, our bodies, our mind, emotionally, spiritually, mindfully. We are, if you will, transformed by the Holy Spirit. That's the kind of power that God gives us as we trust and believe in Him. We're new creation. It's not an, you know, the Christian life isn't just redoing and getting a better me. It's a dead me that has been made alive, a brand new person.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, maybe this young lady and young man didn't hear that message, unfortunately, and as a response to that, in the argument, took her own life.
I was going to weigh in just more from a scientific standpoint. You know, there's when you look at someone's born male, that means their chromosomal makeup is specifically determined, designed by a particular alignment. Yeah. Therefore, you cannot argue with the biology behind someone being born purely a male. Now, there are some syndromes, such as Klinefelter syndrome and others, where there's both female aspects to the human body and male aspects. But that is a mutation, a genetic mutation that causes that. But what it sounds like from this standpoint, this particular individual was born male, but he felt he was female. And so biologically, without any argument in this, the person was male. Then it leads to the second thing. Well, why were they feeling this way? And they threw in this idea of depression and mental illness and such of that nature. Those could be legitimate points of discussion in this. But if you look at it from a scientific chromosomal viewpoint, as long as he didn't have any kind of syndromes, like I said, Klinefelter or others, then this person was born male, scientifically speaking.
Yeah. man, reading the letter, it's crazy. I'd heard the story, but hadn't really dug in yet. And it'd be an interesting commentary to talk also about for parents out there listening. Yes. Teo, I know we can't read it its entirety because there's language, there's a lot to it. But basically, this 16-year-old born male chose to count himself female. Ended their life, and if you would, you know, give us a
gist of it,
yeah, or if you want to read excerpts,
yeah,
so that we can. Yeah.
This is really sad. This bums me out a lot.
Yeah.
When I was 14, I learned what transgender meant and cried of happiness. After 10 years of confusion, I finally understood who I was. This person says that they felt like a girl trapped in a boy's body since they were 4 years old. I immediately told my mom, and she reacted extremely negatively, telling me that it was a phase, that I would never truly be a girl, that God doesn't make mistakes, and that I am wrong. If you are reading this, parents, please don't tell this to your kids. Even if you are Christian or against transgender people, don't ever say that to someone, especially your kid. They won't do anything. That won't do anything but make them hate themselves. It's exactly what it did to me. My mom started taking me to a therapist, but would only take me to Christian therapists who were all very biased, so I never actually got the therapy I needed to cure me of depression. I only got more Christians telling me that I was selfish and wrong and that I should look to God for help. Then she went to this person went through a period where they were going to try to do, when they were 18, they were going to try to do the transitioning thing. The parents said no. When they were 16, they wanted to, but the parents said they would have to wait until they were 18 and they were a legal adult to do that. Lots of crying self to sleep. Parents got really, really upset. They took this person out of public school, took away laptop and phone, forbid them of getting any sort of social media, completely isolating her from her friends. This was probably the part of my life when I was the most depressed, and I'm surprised I didn't kill myself. I was completely alone for 5 months, no friends, no support, no love, just my parents' disappointment and the cruelty of loneliness. Later, they came back around, gave the phone back. The friends came back around, but then they left. And this person felt even lonelier than before. After a summer of having almost no friends, plus the weight of having to think about college, save money for moving out, keeping grades up, go to church each week and feel like bad word because everyone there is against everything I live for, I've decided I've had enough. I'm never going to transition successfully even when I move out. I'm never going to be happy with the way I look or sound. I'm never going to have enough friends to satisfy me. I'm never going to have enough love to satisfy me. I'm never going to find a man who loves me. I'm never going to be happy. Either I live the rest of my life as a lonely man who wishes he was a woman, or I live my life as a lonelier woman who hates herself. There's no winning. There's no way out. I'm sad enough already. I don't need my life to get any worse. People say it gets better, but that isn't true in my case. It gets worse each day. I get worse. They left a will and testament and kind of some final stuff.
So my questions are the, I mean, because we talk, it is Theology Thursday.
Yes.
We talk a lot of theology. We had a theological question on transgender, but as parents, all of us, I'm not saying what these parents did was necessarily wrong, because talking about, you're hearing it from a biased child's perspective that my Christian parents only took me to a Christian counselor who were biased. However, how can we speak wisdom to maybe a parent who is dealing with this, who needs answers, who needs to know where to turn? Because the things that the parents stated from this perspective aren't necessarily wrong, what they're stating. Maybe it was how they said it. I don't know. Obviously, we weren't there.
And I believe there's probably layers to this situation. There's so much that we don't understand, A, and B, that we may never understand in a situation like this. Let me just say, overarching, it's a very sad and tragic scenario.
Yeah.
And probably one that's more common, not in the sense of someone wanting to do a sex change or something in their early age, but just common between, you know, a teenager who, to their own admissions, going through depression, and, you know, Christian parents who want what's best for their child. And so there is that kind of dilemma that's been put, you know, forth here. Now, as a parent, as a Christian, I really do think we want to handle things biblically. Mm-hmm. And so for parents to say, listen, I want to handle this as biblically as I possibly can, and if the Christian counselor is a biblical Christian counselor, invariably that is where you're going to want to go. So I am not faulting the parents by any means in this situation. But what it does tell me is that there, you know, there were different layers to this. Maybe there was a misunderstanding, a mistrust. Mm-hmm. There was probably rebellion and various other facets that were going on into this situation. But the parents, again, not knowing them, not knowing the total situation, sounds like they were working within their conscience to, you know, have the kid go to counselors that they felt were biblical and were going to help them. Now, from the kid's standpoint, you know, that the Christian counselors were biased and everything else of that nature. You know, I guess you could understand it from his standpoint, because he's obviously wasn't a Christian, or at least he didn't claim to be a Christian. And so he's saying, you know, I'm being force-fed something that I don't want to you know, come to terms with. One of the larger issues I'm seeing through this is the reality that Christians really need to come to terms with is the reality of depression and mental illness.
Amen.
And we kind of want to skirt it. We want to push it off to the side. But the reality in the world today is depression is a real psychological, mental, cognitive disorder that needs to be treated as such. It is an illness. And so really getting to the root of the problem, kind of peeling away those layers in these type of situations, is vitally important.
Yeah,
I think one of the greatest things as you know, as a believer, is to recognize, you know, that you have been created in the image of God. I think once you know, have your identity in Christ, is to realize, you know, regardless of even as a male, female, you know, you deal with those things, but, you know, it's to realize that your identity is in Christ. And it almost seems like she never heard that. It's like it never came together, that regardless of how physiologically, you know, your body was and the hormones that were going through your body, you have to trust that in Christ you're complete, you're made in Him, you are a new creation, that, you know, and we're called every day, quite honestly, to live beyond our own emotions and to have the mind of Christ above our own thoughts and you know, emotions. And a lot of times that's where the battle is going on, is in our own mindset, no matter what it is in life. Is the mind, is to realize, okay, I'm in Christ, God is for me, I'm going to trust His word over my own thoughts, over my own, you know, ideas in my mind, and let that shape you. But apart, again, from the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit in a person's life, it falls short, and unfortunately, it ends in despair, ends mm-hmm. in a lack of hope, and who am I, and a question mark over identity.
Right. Know? Yeah, and that's a good point, Jarrett, of identity and finding your place and purpose in Christ. But it sounds like this young man obviously was facing depression. And anyone listening out there, I would really encourage you, particularly if you're going through depression, to get some great resources. Pastor Skip, several years ago, did a little booklet called Overcoming Depression. More recently, he did a teaching called Radioactive. Josh McDowell has a book that actually Jarrett Petro here let me borrow, called Christian Worker's Handbook. And in that book, he deals with the idea and the concept of depression. And tackles it, I think, in a very fair and biblical way, but also scientifically, looking at the science behind depression, of what's going on in a person's mind. And you need to get those resources, because invariably, if you could peel the layer back, the onion, you could get all these different issues and things. There usually is a core or a series of issues that need to be addressed. And it sounds like in this case, that maybe depression and some mental illness was at the core of it, and he needed help for the depression, mm-hmm. You know, to tackle that core issue and then build from there.
Yeah, it seems I see that heavily with the I will never be loved this way. I will never be loved the way I want. And it's difficult because you know, depending upon which denomination you subscribe to, I've heard it said many a times that depression comes down to pride, self-esteem. selfishness, yeah. and as a member of a family who has I have many of family members who have dealt with and dealing with mental issues. I can see both perspectives because part of me says, man, would you just please stop staring at yourself for 7 seconds? Because a lot of times depression, you're so introverted, you're so cast inwardly about the woe is me and the down. But as someone who's also dealt with it, I understand it seems so real.
We also have to understand, though, that our body, how God made us, is a chemistry lab.
Right.
And there are serotonin levels. Yeah. There are adrenaline. There's all these things that when they get out of whack, our body then reacts to those chemical releases in a particular fashion and form, which can lead to depression, which can lead to mental illness. So contrary to this idea that mental illness or depression is a not real thing, there is scientific evidence. There's proof. There's study after study showing the physiological effects of what goes on in one person's body. But then you have to learn how to deal with depression. And that is where getting those tools in your tool chest will be helpful. And one of those tool chests are getting your, you know, your eyes off yourself, becoming yourself so self-focused, you do need to take your eyes off yourself and serve other people and look at other people. But again, I am not of that persuasion that depression or mental illness is just a fabrication.
Right.
It really has physiological roots.
Yeah, you know, and that's why, you know, I was thinking of Isaiah 61. I just turned there and I was thinking, it's so awesome to know that Jesus, as a fulfillment of prophecy, when he said that the Spirit of the Lord was upon him, he came to heal the brokenhearted. He came, you know, to set the captives free that were not only physically captive, but spiritually captive, and to open the eyes of the blind. There's so much, again, physiological and emotional, with dealing with hormones and depression, that Christ came to set free, to bring light into darkness. I even love that Isaiah is honest enough as he declares, speaking about exchanging the garment of you know, with the garment of praise instead of the spirit of heaviness. And he says that in Isaiah 61 verse 3, that God has exchanged that garment for praise instead of the garment of heaviness. And what he means about that is this overwhelming depression that you would experience. Of course, the Psalms cover this. David often talks about depression. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and all that is within me? So this is a real thing. And again, it can be, you know, levels of, you know, where you're dealing with chemically within your body, emotionally, hormonally, but also mentally, where you're beginning to, with a combination of all those three, beginning to feel certain ways. But to know in Christ, as you listen to this, is to readjust yourself as a believer if you're dealing with depression, and remind yourself of those wonderful promises of God, that Christ sets us free. He is the one who gives us a new mind. We do have the mind of Christ. He has exchanged that garment of heaviness for the spirit of praise, and, you know, the power of worshiping Him, and again, getting our eyes focused on Him. So identity is so important. We do that every day, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It makes me more and more excited for, we keep mentioning the upcoming series that Skip is doing, Jesus Loves People, because I think a lot of times, if we don't understand someone's situation, we tend to just disregard it.
Right.
If we don't have an understanding, we just tend to go, well, this is stupid. When Christ, man, that was it, love. It all hinged upon love. And not just the Christians, but Jesus loves people.
And obviously this young man had, you know, there was lots of struggles in his life.
Right.
And it ended tragically, and our heart goes out to the family and his friends, and such of that nature. And some of these issues do take time to resolve, but you do have to get the appropriate help when needed.
Yeah.
And again, for those who are listening that may be struggling with depression, I would encourage you to pick up Pastor Skip's Radioactive Teaching from the Playlist series. It was a blessing to a lot of people.
Yeah.
And we're currently working on a little booklet on this, because it is something that so many Christians are dealing with in their own lives, spiritual depression. And it goes back to Martin Lloyd-Jones, who Jarrett recommended a book to me called Spiritual Depression by Martin Lloyd-Jones. And it too, talks about, you know, the depression for the Christian, that it is a real thing that Christians need to be aware of.
Yeah, incredible. Thank you so much for sending that email in. If you would like to chime in, if you have a thought, a question, facebook.com/mystaticradio. You can also email us, studio@mystaticradio.com. That is a novel.
Novel. Okay, we're going to do this question, and then we got a reply from our first question.
Okay.
So we'll go back around to that.
I like that.
I guess.
Or should we do the reply?
Yeah, which one do you want to do?
Let's do the reply, because that's fresh in our mind before we sidetrack off to a new question.
I think this new question deals more with identity, which is what we were just talking about.
Okay.
But whatever you want to do.
Okay.
Let's see. Okay, so back to the first question.
Which was forgiveness and repentance,
correct?
Repentance
and forgiveness.
Yes, okay.
Okay, thanks for taking my question. If we are under grace and forgiven for our sins, what is the need or reason for continually confession of sin? Wasn't 1 John 1:9 written to non-believers as a message to have them repent?
Yeah, well, let me give you a simple answer, and then Jarrett will also chime in. Because we continually sin. The reality is, 1 John does say, you know, he who believes is without sin, is, you know, basically we're deceiving ourselves, we're lying.
Right.
Because we continually sin, we need to continually ask the Lord for forgiveness. And then what the Lord promises through, by his grace, through the remission of sins and what Christ accomplished on the cross, he will forgive us. But Jarrett, you have more to say as well.
Yeah, you know, I just think that, you know, like Brian, he nailed it. He says, we do sin. We still have this physical body. We're not, you know, this body isn't redeemed yet. So it's been fulfilled, but the consummation of all that when Christ comes and receiving our new body that hasn't been tattered by sin and affected by sin. So is when you read 1 John, you know, 1:9, as he speaks about that, he says that if we, and he's writing to believers, by the way, if we confess our sins, plural, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make God a liar and his word is not in us. I would say this, when you look at the plural word too of sins that he's repeating there, is the active daily sin, if you will, mentally and throughout, you know, actually lived out. When we talk about repentance, when we think about, you know, as you would come to know Christ by faith and through his grace, is that sin, naturally, that has been inherited through Adam, when you repent, you're repenting from your sinful nature and the initial sin, if you will, that goes way back in time, the sinful nature, sin itself, that's been infected mankind. So when a person repents, they're repenting of their sin and the judgment that is due placed upon that sin when Christ went to the cross, who really took our place and substituted for us. The sins, plural, as he mentions, is the daily sin. A good example of this, too, is in John 13, when Jesus washes the feet of the disciples. He's getting ready to wash Peter's feet, and of course he denies, no, Lord, don't do that. There's two different words for cleansing. There's nipto and luo in the Greek. One word is used when God washes the feet. It's a daily cleansing from dirt that just accumulates on the feet because they were wearing sandals. And that's the one Jesus was speaking of when he washed their feet. When Peter says, no, Lord, don't wash me, he goes, then you have no part of me. He changes the word of washing to luo, meaning that taking an entire immersion of cleansing. Jesus said he had already done that or is going to do that when he went to the cross. So we've been luoed, if you will. We've been washed in the blood of Christ. We've been cleansed by sin in repentance. But then that should never stop us from, if you will, a continual repentance or confession, more that word, to where there's a daily confession in the washing of the feet on a daily basis, because the world is full of sin. We come in contact with sin. I may not want to sin purposefully, but I am, you know, in contact with a sinful world and a sinful nature around me. So I hope that helps as far as the initial repentance of sin and its nature and the consequences of that before God, repenting of that, the acknowledgement that I'm a sinner, that God has come to save me, and then you have the confession part of that where we are like, Lord, cleanse me from my sin today.
the nature of who I am.
Good insight, Jared. And I think we need to also focus on the really amazing, beautiful facet there of 1 John. You know, 1 John 9, if we confess our sins, if we turn them over to the Lord, recognize, acknowledge them, He, that is God, is faithful and just to forgive us. We need to put our eyes on the fact that God could still continually love us and forgive us, even though we are sinners. Yeah. So rather than putting the attention on, do I have to repent? Is God just going to forgive me even if I don't repent? We should put our focus on, wow, Lord, You are forgiving me. You have promised that You will continually do that, even though I have sinned. So I would say, you know, putting our faith and our focus on Christ and the reality of Him being able and continually forgiving us just shows His magnificent love, His magnificent grace. The fact that He would come and continually work with us, mold us, what we call in theological terms, sanctify us, continually mold us and shape us into the image of Christ is a beautiful thing for us to ponder.
Yeah. Dude, right on. Thanks for the follow-up to that.
Yeah.
We got about 10 minutes left to show, and I'm sure this is going to take the time. So
yeah, it's going to take some time.
Do it.
Something that has been bothering me for a while has to do with my husband's dad and stepmom. They were both raised in the Christian church. However, they both decided that Christian practices are wrong and the Messianic Jewish tradition is entirely correct. I am Jewish, born Jewish, that was raised in the Christian church, and I love my Christian faith and my Jewishness. I don't feel the need to celebrate all high holy days, but I also believe that Christians can be edified by doing so. My husband's dad and stepmom were hoping I would turn him into a good little Jew. That's what this person wrote. That is not my goal. His father last summer compared me to characteristics of a Jezebel, causing him to eat strife, worship pagan gods, and using sex to seduce him away from the cocoon of truth which his dad and mom and stepmom had begun to wrap him in. After this conversation, my husband blocked them from both our phones, and we blocked them on social media, and we have not spoken with them since. My husband was 30 when I met him, and he had not decided that God may exist, but that he had no interest in his life. He was hopeless. After he met me, he rediscovered God and His purpose for his life. Now we are 6 months pregnant, and I am conflicted about whether or not to let them back into our lives. I don't want to deprive our child of her family, but I don't want them to have the opportunity to continue to hurt us, and especially not our kids. They live in Illinois, and we live here in New Mexico, so we have to be intentional about a relationship with them. What would you do?
Let me just clarify a few points just for my own sake here. So this couple, this husband and wife, are Christians. They're Messianic Christians, but the dad and stepmom sounds like have left the Christian faith and now they're just Jews. Is that
yeah.
How am I understanding
that
properly?
They decided Christian practices are wrong and that Messianic Jewish traditions are entirely correct.
Okay, so the parents too are Messianic Jews at this point.
I think so.
All right, so what we're dealing with here are two sets of individuals, a dad and a stepmom who are Messianic Jews, and a daughter-in-law and son who are also Messianic Jews. I got it. Jared, jump in.
This feels more like Shock Therapy Live because it's all relational and like,
let me say, you know, when I think of this, I just want to, you know, look at the fact of the Jewish aspect of it. There's nothing wrong with, you know, somebody who looks to, you know, the past and goes, okay, obviously Christ is a picture of everything that we see in the Old Testament and its services with the priest and how things were carried out, you know, and so we don't know that until, of course, Christ shows up on the scene, and the book of Hebrews is basically the commentary of the entire Old Testament that begins to reveal to us the reality of Christ coming and fulfilling all this. Matter of fact, the writer of Hebrews would even say, even at times past, he said, in many ways, God spoke to our fathers through the prophets, but in these last days, He's spoken to us by His Son, whom He's appointed heir of all things, and to through Him who He created the world. He is the radiance or the expression of God, the exact imprint of His nature. So the idea is that even though God spoke in times past through prophets and those of old, His fulfillment of everything that He accomplished through the Old Testament law, the Jewish traditions, the feast, if you will, are all fulfilled in Christ, even to a point when Paul, he spends his entire time in the book of Hebrews describing this, that not every high priest is chosen from among men, and he doesn't go in daily to re-sacrifice. Matter of fact, when Christ entered in once and once only to die for the sins of mankind, it was a done deal. And even though the blood of goats and heifers and all that and cows just covered it, Christ Jesus washed away our sin. Only those things could cover it, and they were a symbol and a type of Christ to come. So to go back under that is a whole nother subject in itself, and to look at Christianity. Now, there are some things as far as tradition that you look at Christianity and go, well, where did that come from? We should all be that way. We should all go, where did this tradition come from under the banner of Christianity?
Yeah.
If it is not like Christ himself, then throw it out. A good example are the Feast of Israel. We look at that, and Christ, we know, is fulfilled every one of those. They were a picture, those festivals and parties, if you will, about, you know, seven of those different festivals, they all pointed to Christ. Unfortunately, in the Christian life today, we don't necessarily celebrate all those the way that we should. In looking back, we should celebrate those, but with the full understanding that Christ has already fulfilled this.
Yeah.
And we do have pagan holidays within the banner. I'm saying the broad view of Christianity, you know, with under that. And unfortunately, you have a lot of tainted stuff. So a lot of historical stuff there. But going back to it, to throw out the person of Christ who is Christianity because you think that the Jewish way is better, Christ himself, and you read this in Galatians, to go back under the law, he would even state, is to fall from grace because you're re-sacrificing Christ. You're not receiving the full payment of the blood of Christ, but rather wanting to go back under the law, wanting to go back under the sacrifices and that substitute rather than Christ.
Great insight, Jarrett. And let me just say to these couples that it is a beautiful thing to go back and study the origins of the Christian faith, to understand that Jesus was Jewish, to understand that the apostles were Jewish, to understand that God has spoken, as Jarrett so rightfully pointed out, through the prophets of old. But the point comes in our understanding of the Jewish origins that, as Jarrett pointed out, Christ fulfilled them. And to go back under the law is to completely misunderstand and misappropriate the entire teachings of the New Testament. Jarrett referenced Galatians. Paul bends over backwards to let us know that we're not to go back under the law, that the law was a tutor, a schoolmaster, showing us the need ultimately for Christ. And then what do we do once we understand that the Messiah has come? Well, the justified live by faith. And so what you have to do is stand back and look at the big picture of what Paul is saying. He's saying before there was a law, how were people justified? They were justified by faith. And he uses Abraham as the example. There was no law. There was just Abraham's faith working and walking with God through the details of life. And if you go back before Abraham, how did Adam and Eve interact? Well, God was there among in their midst. So what Paul is saying, let's go back to first principles. Let's go back to the first contact, the original, you know, people that God was dealing with in these areas. How did they live? Well, Paul would say Abraham lived by faith. Adam and Eve lived with God amidst them. And so when you look at the person of Christ, Christ is fulfilling these things. Christ is God in our midst. He is walking among us by the power of his Holy Spirit. We are in communion with God because God is here with us. And then secondly, we go back and say we're living by faith because before the law, there was just that faith. So my larger point in this discussion is to say, to go back to the laws, to go back to all of these different components really is missing the point of what Paul and others state. And let me say this, Jared, and you know this very, very well. People who say, well, I'm going back to an Old Testament understanding, I'm going back to the law, they don't really mean that. What they mean is they're going to pick and choose which laws they want, because the totality of the law is more than just this and that and the other thing. There are literally not just 10 laws, but there are hundreds of laws that they would need to abide by. And one of the greatest that is not being fulfilled, and not only do Jewish individuals who are not Messianic Jews have to contend with, but Messianic Jews also have to contend with, there's no temple. There's no sacrificial system. So one of the core concrete you know, facets of Judaism is the temple sacrifice, and that is no longer in existence. So if you're missing one of the cornerstone facets of the faith, you're missing all of it.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, in addition, I think of Hebrews 9 that we were talking about in this discussion, you know, a certain family that is gravitating towards more the Jewish culture and law, who supposedly were Christian at the prior to this, and has pushed that away and therefore won't adhere to the Christian side of things. And yet, you know, it's going contrary to the word, because you have in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11, but when Christ even appeared as high priest of the good things to come, then through the greater and more perfect way, not made, you know, a tent that was made with hands, but it was not of this creation, his body, speaking of that, he entered once and all into the holy place. Christ entered once and all into the holy place, not by the means of the blood of goats and calves, but by the means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of defiled persons were with the ashes of heifer sanctify for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through his eternal spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. So he's a new mediator. Has a new covenant. He fulfilled, and through Christ, the beauty is that he fulfilled the law and the prophets. And so I would say, pray for your parents. Wrap up on this last story is, pray for your parents. Absolutely. That they would see Christ. Christianity has some messy stuff to it as far as history's concerned, as far as religion's concerned. We don't want that. We're talking about a real relationship with Jesus Christ through his blood. And when you look at that he offered once and for all, that sacrifice to save us from our sin, that is the key. That is the answer. Yeah. Christ is Christianity. So there you go.
Man, if you missed any part of Theology Thursday, download the podcast, mystaticradio.com/TheologyThursday. Some amazing questions today. If this show spawned a question in your mind, please email us. We accept them all throughout the week. studio@mystaticradio.com. That's studio@mystaticradio.com. We will answer it. We're here every Thursday for Theology Thursday.
Mm-hmm. So here's another thing. Thursday. So what you gonna do, Steve? Are you gonna get back together with your in-laws? Or
I did. I think what I took away from that, like Jarrett said, there's some really rad parties that we're not attending. So yeah. I'm just gonna go back and party, bruh.
I think maybe we can bring this back up for shock therapy, because that part of it is more relational.
Absolutely. There you go. Until next time. Tomorrow, of course, Team Austin Morning Party with our boy Sam Swan. It's Friday. It's finally here. We're gonna have some fun. Stay close. Middays with Mitch up next. Team Austin Morning Party.
Goodbye.
Static.